about.
Let's cut out the small talk because we got a very important show to do.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
I love you, California. You're the greatest state of all. I love you in the winter, summer, spring, and in the fall.
I see where this is going, and I think you should stop.
Got it.
Got it.
Got it.
All right, good. Good.
I'm not going to repeat it back to you, but I got it.
I think I would feel better if you just said it once back to me. That it was clear.
Okay, I'm gonna meet you and repeat it back to you.
No, don't just repeat my words. Say it in your own words so I know that you got the message.
But if I do it as me, then...
But if you say it in your
pronouns,
own...
The pronouns change.
Again.
Okay. Wait, why?
And now...
Science is proving their weak intellect and innate lack of character.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Monday morning, the 4th of April.
Yeah, it is. Allie, that I Love You California song was just for you.
Oh, I love it so much.
Although I prefer your version. I like the way you sing.
Do you? Yeah. It's not good. I really jazz it up, don't I?
You do.
Thanks.
So, everybody, another April foolishness in the books.
Yeah.
Right? It's a good time, right?
It was good to see you, Bean. You should come down more.
Whoa.
Is that not what we're saying?
No, you can say it was good to see you.
Okay.
But let's end it right there.
Okay, got it.
If you don't mind. Come on now.
No, that is a violation of the policy here on the program.
Okay.
In both directions, by the way. Let me just say that comedians are funny, first of all.
Ooh, bold.
Wow.
I know.
Okay.
I guess I hadn't given that much thought, but they're really funny.
Uh-huh.
And
so wait, you're starting today's show by saying comedians are funny.
Yes, that was my takeaway from Foolishness.
All right.
And also, it was so nice to see the – and I know that, you know, comedians are you know, they're all doing the same job. They got a lot in common. Many of them had known each other for a long time. But it was so nice to see the camaraderie between all the guys and how excited – you know, Jay Moore was to see Bob Saget and that sort of thing. You know,
right.
I mean, it was just – it was really – it was fun. I mean – you'd think it might be competitive because you guys are doing the exact same job and it's just a guy and a guy. But everybody likes everybody so much, at least of the comedians it seemed like we had there. It seemed like a big party.
So they're funny.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
And then they get along.
Yep.
Yeah. Look, I don't see a lot of interaction of things that
right.
happen in the wild.
Right.
So these are just my observations from seeing it with my own eyes on Saturday. I was pleased and I was impressed and I was, dare I say it, Allie, I was delighted.
Oh, I like it.
So, that info beam.
So anyway, we'll talk more
Plus
about it later.
The microphones, they really work well.
You can hear things further
uh-huh.
back in the room
All
than
the
you
way
could
in the back.
If they were just standing on stage not using a mic.
Right.
Yeah. And they got lights so you
mm-hmm.
can actually see them.
Right.
Weird.
I'm just saying it was good. And a lot of
okay.
things worked out.
Right.
A lot of things worked out. And I'm pleased. All right. Let me start with this story because I heard from – it seemed like dozens of listeners who sent this to me on Friday, I think, with was it Bean in the headline. And it was not Bean. But it was a graphic designer who lives in Hong Kong whose name is Ricky Ma. And he grew up watching cartoons with robots and one day wanted to build his own robot. And now, thanks to the miracle of 3D printing, which you know I've been saying, Kevin, since the day we first heard about it, is going to change the world in ways we can't even imagine, he has managed to build himself a robot. A guy with no experience taught himself how to build a life-sized robot from scratch in his house.
I wonder why he's doing that.
I think he grew up as from the time he was a little kid, loving watching robots on TV, and he wanted his own robot. He has realized his childhood dream. He is 42 years old, by the way. It took him a year and a half with a budget of over $50,000
wow.
to build this robot. That's how much it cost him to build this robot. He calls it the Mark One. It responds to a set of programmed verbal commands. I'm so amazed. It has simple movements of its arms and legs. It turns its head. It bows.
Right.
Why are you laughing? Why is that funny?
considering this is a guy who's never built a robot before and he's managed to do this on his own.
Ass up, facing the pillow. That does that. That's where we're going, right?
Well, I mean,
come on, Bean. Where we're going.
Am I burying the lead by not mentioning that she looks exactly like Scarlett Johansson? But that's not the point here. The point isn't.
When we talk about robots with you, the point is always sex.
The robot, which has dark blonde hair and liquid eyes, wears a gray skirt and a crop top and can create detailed facial expressions.
Like we do.
Look, she happens to look like Scarlett Johansson. Exactly. But that doesn't mean it's nefarious, you guys. Your robot's got to look like something. Why not make it look like something that's good? A 3D printed skeleton lies beneath the robot's silicone skin, wrapping its mechanical and electronic parts. About 70% of the body was created using 3D printing technology. He did not know anyone who knew how to do this, and he had a lot of trouble finding resources and details on how to do it because it's a really hard thing to do.
I feel like you could have stopped with he did not know anyone.
He adopted a trial and error method in which he encountered obstacles ranging from frequent burnt out electric motors to the robot losing its balance and toppling over. When you look at everything together,
wearing that out.
When you look at everything together,
God.
It was really difficult. He had to teach himself electromechanics and programming along the way and learn how to fit the robot's external skin over its components. Why aren't you guys impressed? Why does it have to be dirty?
Well, that's the reason you're bringing it up.
No, it's not at all.
100% the reason you're bringing it up.
Absolutely not. I would 100%. I would be doing this story if they built a robot that looked like. I don't know why.
No, go ahead.
I don't know why the first celebrity name of.
These are always the best. Go ahead.
Any other celebrity in the world. If he built a robot that looked like Flip Wilson, I would say the same thing. I don't know why I would have thought of late comedian Flip Wilson. But my point is, it doesn't have to be.
What was Flip's time?
70s mostly, but okay. It doesn't have to be about drilling a Scarlett Johansson lookalike. It has to be about the fact that a guy took a year and a half to teach himself how to build a robot.
Right.
That's what's impressive.
But what we're saying is your interest in this story is based solely on the fact that.
Untrue.
Please.
Untrue. Untrue. I've just told you. It doesn't matter what the robot looks like. That's why I didn't start with that, because this is not a dirty thing.
I see.
This is an amazing entrepreneur. He wants to write a book about his experience and build another robot. So there you go. So that's my new hero right there, Ricky Ma of Hong Kong.
Flip Wilson.
Right. I don't know. I can't imagine. There's a lot of celebrities in the world that I could have said instead.
All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin and B show, shall we?
Not cool.
Speaking of which, Chris Hardwick on the program today, The Walking Dead.
Not cool.
Right?
You guys okay?
Right.
Well, it's going to be a long few months until it comes back, that's for sure.
Okay.
I loved it.
Yeah.
But not cool.
Right.
I think I agree there.
You have no idea how not cool that is.
Right. Exactly. But you will. Would you like to take that back on the program today? If you're excited about that, as this group makes a lot of bad jokes.
Really?
Yep.
Huh.
So that entire last Flip Wilson thing probably will be in there as well. We also have Harvey Levin from TMZ like we do on Mondays.
Mm-hmm.
We have Jensen Karp, who's going to talk to us about WrestleMania. Huge.
Yeah.
Huge.
That was a big deal.
WrestleMania fan. And Ray Romano joins us today as well.
Wow.
That's coming
up. He'll have his shirt on, though, when we talk to him, right? It won't be like on the TV show.
Right, that one scene where he was having sex with girls, you think that now he's going to live his life that way?
I would.
I hope not.
I hope not. I would. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the show of his beat next. 6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 5:53.
Apparently, we've got some decisions to make. It's another edition of Kevin and Bean's Would You Like to Take That Back, coming up just after 6. First, though, good morning, Ralph Garman.
So, comedians are funny.
Mm-hmm.
A, yes.
And they enjoy being around each other.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Being mm-hmm. funny together.
Sounds like my takeaways really landed with everyone today.
Yeah, it's opened my eyes to a whole new world.
That was the same thing with me. Thank you for saying that, Ralph.
You know what really would have enjoyed April Foolishness? Flip Wilson. He would have, if Flip had been backstage, he would have talked to Bob Saget and Jay Moore, and they all would have been friendly together and also funny.
Could
in
you
one
believe
place.
That poll?
It was, it's just, that's why.
It answers so many questions,
it
does. Doesn't it?
It just gives you, just, it's right.
It's
all right there.
I knew that I shouldn't say out loud the first celebrity that came into my mind. But I was so astonished by it that
you did the right thing.
I couldn't stop myself. So I apologize to everybody who expected something current, relevant, reasonable, and entertaining.
But Happy Monday.
It's not what you get on this show.
Nope. Happy Monday. This is the very beginning.
Uh-huh.
Of what promises to be an extraordinarily long week. Just the first opening salvo, if you will, in a brutal long conflict that will end in destruction and chaos.
It's not just me. Bean's really heading for Crazyville. I mean, like, he's speeding it up.
Yeah.
The last couple of weeks, he's just been on fire.
Where have you been?
No, I'm saying he's...
Great question, Allie. What, you've heard from listeners that I've been crazy? Is that what you're saying, Kevin?
I'm saying he's picking up speed like crazy with this.
Yeah. He's going downhill, and he's not even pumping the brakes.
Nope.
He's just...
Let go of the wheel?
He's ghost riding the whip now at this point down that hill. All right, let's take a look at the weekend box office, because we do that on Monday, so we get an idea what people went to see. Over the weekend in the movie theaters, number one for the second week in a row, Batman v Superman. However, a bit of a dip from its opening week, down about 68% at the box office. Made still over $50 million, though. More than enough to make it number one again this weekend.
But we've been told that that movie is not bad.
Right.
That's the word that's come down to us.
That's what they've told us.
Right.
That's right.
I saw it this weekend.
Yeah?
Yeah. Not bad.
So there you go. Perfectly fine.
Right.
Zootopia, $20 million at the box office this weekend. My Big Fat Greek Wedding 2 was third. God's Not Dead 2 debuted to a strong $8 million. I think God would have more sway at the box office, but maybe he doesn't care about such things. Miracles from Heaven was fifth. The Divergent series, Allegiant, came in at number 6, 10 Cloverfield Lane. Meet the Blacks. Now, Meet the Blacks was the hilarious parody of The Purge, about an African-American family that moves in Beverly Hills, the night of The Purge.
Right.
Bad choice on their part.
Mm-hmm.
That only made $4 million this weekend. Eye in the Sky was 9th. No, I don't know what that is either. And Deadpool was 10th.
Eye in the Sky, we figured out, was that drone movie.
Oh, it's that same movie, that thing with the...
Right.
With the... Judy Dench or someone.
Helen Mirren?
Right. Same thing.
Right. They're the same old,
person.
Old British lady.
They're the same person.
And Flip Wilson.
Yeah. Although Flip Wilson is dominating the headlines this morning, I thought this was interesting. Are you familiar with the name if I say the name Doris Day?
Sure.
Yeah, singer?
Doris Day, singer, actress, at one time the biggest box office star in America.
Really?
Yes.
And I think she might even still be alive, right, Ralph?
Well, that was going to be my point.
Oh, okay.
She celebrated her 92nd birthday over the weekend. She has this thing called the Doris Day Animal Foundation. She was the OG sort of animal rights celebrity. Mm-hmm. And she always celebrates her birthday by making it a combination charity event and fundraiser. But here's the thing. She never appears. She will send a recorded audio message
right.
to the fans that flock to her hometown of Carmel, California, each and every year to celebrate her birthday and raise money for this foundation. But she hasn't shown up in decades. No one has seen this woman in decades.
What are you saying?
I'm saying Flip Wilson. That's what I'm saying.
So what that means.
I just think, I don't know another living performer, certainly from that era, that was as big a star who has just... disappeared from public life. I mean, you don't see a picture of this woman. No
right.
one knows what she looks like. Huh. No one knows what she does. She has just dropped off the radar completely.
Huh.
For decades, no one has seen
impossible to do.
You would think.
Yeah.
Certainly, probably in this day and age, it would be. But somehow, she has managed to remove herself completely from public life.
I did hear, I can't remember how long ago it was, but I did hear a radio interview with her a few years ago, and I was surprised that she did it, because you're right, she's so under the radar, and I was surprised how good she sounded, because I knew at that point even she was very old.
But no pictures?
No picture. No, it was just a radio interview. Yeah.
Yeah.
Questionable.
Mm-hmm. That is interesting,
exactly.
Ralph.
Exactly.
Are you excited for your party? Not one bit.
Here's her audio message to her fans. And this is, I don't know about this. Did you hear the big news over the weekend that Caitlyn Jenner was joining the cast of Transparent?
Oh, no.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
She's not an actress.
Right. That's my problem with it. It has nothing to do with anything else other than the fact that if you've ever seen Can't Stop the Music, the super-powered Village People musical that also starred Bruce Jenner, you know for a fact that she is no actress.
Mm.
But I guess it's a get for them?
Yeah.
Caitlin begins filming her scenes next week for that program.
Hmm.
Seems like just stunt casting for the sake of it.
It does.
I don't like it.
I love that show.
Flip wouldn't like it either if he was with it.
No.
Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Hugo Weaving. Hugo Weaving.
No.
The answer is Hugo Weaving.
From
the
question is
The Matrix, right?
Let's see what the question is.
Question is no.
The question is.
Allie says.
Let's see. What does Hugo do in macrame class? Hugo Weaving. Yes, sir. Yes.
Come on.
Should we leave?
Come on. Let's just close the doors.
You are correct, sir. Hugo Weaving. Hey, now. David Cross is 52 years old today. Robert Downey Jr., RDJ. Who's better?
Zero people.
Who wins life more than RDJ?
Yeah, he's enjoying himself.
As well he should. Talented, generous, compassionate, funny, good-looking.
Sure.
He's got it all. Now, here was a guy who was being found randomly on people's couches in a drug-addled stupor.
He was a disaster.
He was the quintessential Hollywood train wreck. He was the punchline for people when you want to talk about washed-up, strung-out actors. And now he runs the world!
Yep. Right? Sure does.
Don't give up, people. There's always hope. James Rhode celebrates his 40th birthday today. Natasha Lyonne is 37. And actor Eric Andre is 33. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
It's great to run into our friend Dr. Drew at April Foolishness on Saturday night, along with Mike Cathwood. You know, Kevin, while you were gone, Mr. Cathwood did his last Love Line show. And so he's not on the show anymore.
Yeah, that's a bummer.
There is going to be a Rudy Cisneros TV show coming soon, though. And that is part of why he had to leave Love Line, is because he's spending a lot of time on that. So I'm very excited about that. But we started talking about, I mean, that is one of the great jobs in radio, co-hosting Love Line with Dr. Drew. A lot of people have done it over the years. You know, Stryker did it for a couple of years. Adam Carolla, of course, probably the most famous of all the co-hosts on that program.
Beanie and I have filled in and do poorly.
Yeah.
Some it's people fun, call though. In with a question, and then we just look at Drew.
Drew, go ahead.
It's fun, though, and I was talking to Dr. Sex with Emily. I don't know her real name, but that's how we know her. And she was saying we don't have any idea who the host is going to be. It's wide open right now.
Oh.
But while you were gone, Kevin, a few people did audition for the job that I think you'd be interested in hearing about.
Oh,
for instance,
fantastic.
Did you know our own beer mug at one time went in and said, hey, I'd like to be the host. And I think that's a great
that's
choice.
The best idea ever.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's see. We got a little bit of his tape.
This is Love Line.
Love Line.
It makes sex even better.
Hey, welcome back to the show. You're listening to Love Line with me, Beer Mug, and Dr. Drew. We'll take your phone calls at 1-800-LOVE-191, and we'll answer all your questions about love and sex and relationships and food and burgers and pizza and weight loss and Uber. We have a call. Kyle's on the phone. Hi, Kyle. Thanks for calling Loveline. What can I do for you?
Yeah, hi, Dr. Drew and Beer Mug. Thanks for taking my call. You know, I'm having a hard time in my relationships with women. I think it's because I was you know, growing up, I had some issues with abuse, sexual abuse from a family member.
You know, that makes me think of my own childhood. You know, my dad used to play jazz records around the house. And, you know, I love beats. And he taught me, you know, the importance of a drummer in jazz. And it's important that, you know, you have a strong backbeat. and he would expose me to all kinds of good music. And
yeah, I had a family member that exposed himself to me too.
Yeah, and you'd go see movies like Mr. Holland's Opus. And it's funny because if you're like me, you have a very close family.
Yeah, I had some members of my family who were a little too close to me.
And we would get together for family meals and talk about the day's events and what would happen. And I think that really helped me develop a strong sense of self. And so I like, you know, beats and food. And
can we get back to my problem?
Yeah, sure. So how do you feel about beats?
I don't really care about beats one way or the other. I just need some help.
You know, help, when I think of help, I think of the Beatles, and a lot of people don't know, I think Ringo was underappreciated as a drummer, because I'm a drummer, and I think Ringo was really one of the best rock drummers. What do you think?
I think I'm gonna call somebody else.
Wait, before you go, how has your life been up till today?
Oh, no.
Well, there's your answer right there.
So that was Muggs. And look, they haven't made a final decision
how
yet.
How could they not have after listening to that?
Well, because then the next night I went in and threw my hat into the ring because I think I would be an excellent choice to co-host Loveline.
This is Loveline.
This is Loveline.
Loveline.
It makes sex even better.
You are listening to Loveline with me and Dr. Drew. Oh, Dr. Drew. You sang so perfectly fine the other day with that Kings game. You were absolutely acceptable. Okay, let's take our first caller. We've got a caller on the line. Hello?
Hi, Dr. Drew and Bean. I've got a problem, and I just can't seem to get a handle on it. I can't control myself. I just like to peep into women's windows and into women's locker rooms, and I can't help myself. I just like to look at them.
Why are you bothering us with this call? They seem perfectly fine to me.
Well, the police don't seem to think so. I've been arrested twice, and I just can't seem to get a handle on it.
Well, tell me what kind of things you see when you're peeping like that.
Well, you know, women in locker rooms, you know, walking around in towels, or women in their bedrooms.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. Oh, daddy likey.
I know this is going to sound weird coming from me, but you're a little creepy.
What? I'm not creepy at all. How could you say that?
Well, you know, it takes one to know one.
But first of all, I have never been arrested for peeping. And I don't think I like this call. Oh, we have to move on. Another call. Yes, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi, Dr. Drew. Bean. I also have a bit of a problem. I tend to steal women's underwear from the laundromat near my house where I do my laundry. I wait for a woman to put her underwear in a washer, and then I will steal the underwear. And it's a compulsion. I need some help.
Once again, I don't see anything wrong with this. Is there anybody out there with a real problem? What's that?
How are you not the answer?
Well, because there was one other audition that happened while you mysteriously were not on the Kevin and Bean show, and you never even told anyone. You came in at night, and you put your hat in the ring to be the new co-host of Loveline as well.
This is Loveline. Uh-oh.
This is Loveline.
Loveline.
It makes sex even better.
Everybody, you're listening to Loveline on with me and Dr. Pudrinsky on radio and call us Love 1-800-1800 Love I9I. You're on the call. Go ahead on the phone.
Hi, Kevin and Dr. Drew. I was wondering if you had some advice on how I can get my girlfriend to have a threesome with me and another girl.
Oh, that's it's very not hard, not easy to make do that. So first you have to find four other people for a threesome. And then you go, when you're going, ask her first, hey, you The terrorist situations.
I want to try to get her to have a threesome with me.
I know. That's why I'm saying, if you are not first, you must have a girlfriend.
I do have a girlfriend. I'm trying to get her to have a threesome.
All right, then. Why don't you? Here's an idea. Try to have a threesome.
That's what I'm saying. I'm saying I want to do that.
I don't understand what you're saying.
I want my girlfriend to have a threesome with me and another girl. How do I get her to do that?
Oh, okay. First of all, you must always have a friend. She must have a friend that you are also interested in having a threesome.
This is not helpful at all.
No, listen. Okay, first, you have a girlfriend, right? B, you are also looking for another woman also. And L, you can't. You're trying to talk to her into it.
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
Okay. I've often eat mac and cheese because it was, you know, did you know mac and cheese is mac is short for macaroni? Hello? Oh, I think I hung up on him. That's my bad. That's on me. That's my bad. Dr. Pudrinsky.
So there's your answer.
Would you like to take that back? Coming up in minutes here on the Kevin and Bean Show. And then at 7 o'clock, we'll talk to our WWE correspondent about all the events in Dallas last night at WrestleMania 32. First, though, Harvey Levin, did you think you'd wake up this morning and end up listening to a guy playing a banjo over a telephone? Is that what you imagined your morning would be like?
Did not. as a matter of fact, it was very deliverancey, you know?
Yes, very much so.
You're welcome.
Well, Harvey, thanks for coming on. We very much appreciate your time. We know how busy you are. You got some great stuff up on the site, and I want to get to this Iggy story in a minute. But let's start with Lamar Odom, because that is one that is baffling to me. And maybe it shouldn't be, because we all know addiction is a bitch. But maybe Lamar Odom shouldn't be drinking right now, right?
Yeah, I mean, there are two ways of approaching this story. We can talk about it from Lamar's perspective and then Chloe's perspective.
Okay.
It's called Rashomon. Right?
Right.
We'll look at it from two totally different perspectives.
Right.
From
right.
Lamar's perspective, he almost died a few months ago, and he has a severe gripping addiction, and it is next to impossible for him to overcome it. So after what he went through and the vows he made, he was back in a bar drinking. So from Lamar's perspective, this is an addiction that he can't beat, at least yet, and in terms of wake-up calls, there can be no bigger wake-up call than what he had 4 or 5 months ago.
Yeah, being in that coma, I mean, the fact that he is alive is a miracle. The fact that he can walk and he
a
can
miracle.
Talk. Yeah, it's amazing. When we were talking to you during those very dark weeks,
Harvey,
we thought he was going to die. And if he didn't die, he was going to be some sort of vegetable. So the fact that he's up walking around, and then the fact that he apparently reconciled with his wife after all that they've been through, you would think that he would wake up every day and go, my God, I am so blessed to have this second chance.
Okay, now that you've mentioned his wife, can we look at it from her perspective?
Sure. Yes.
So Khloe Kardashian, as you know, was one step away from finalizing her divorce with Lamar when this all happened. She withdraws the divorce and says, I'm going to stick with him and be by his side. And everybody was baffled. I don't think it's baffling anymore, because Chloe, right now, after having given Lamar an ultimatum that if you do anything like this again, I am absolutely positively leaving you, after telling him that, she, at least for now, has said, I am not going to divorce him because I'm afraid if I do, he'll die, and that I'm the only lifeline he has. That is I don't want to play psychologist, but it's a pretty basic concept, which is the savior complex.
Absolutely.
And that they're somebody else's savior.
The guilt that she must be experiencing with this whole thing, she can't do one thing or the other without, I can't even wrap my head around it.
Well, except, here's the thing. You could say that guilt's an appropriate reaction or not. I mean, there are a lot of people who say you've got to let somebody go to save them, and you've got to let them. I mean, I don't know what rock bottom is for Lamar. Maybe yeah. what happened to him wasn't, which is pretty incredible. But if Chloe leaves him, maybe that is the rock bottom thing that happens. And sometimes it, nothing can save somebody. But right. if she does that, then it, you know, that doesn't necessarily mean she should feel guilty. She's the best way of trying to save somebody is not necessarily trying to be their savior.
I feel like she's already gone further than most people would.
Way absolutely.
Further.
Way
further. Absolutely.
No one would blame her at this point if she bowed out. I mean,
nobody would have blamed her the last time when he was, you know, at the brothel and OD'd on cocaine. Nobody would have blamed her then.
Yeah. And at what point does it become so codependent that she's not even living her life anymore?
Well, she, look, how can she be living her life when you really look at it? She is, you know, dropped a divorce, so she's a married woman. In terms of having any kind of a relationship, I don't know. I mean, she says that it can work for her, and maybe it can, but, you know, that kind of limits your possibilities. And, you know, on top of that, she's his caregiver. So, you know, she has kind of put her life on hold for him, and it's not really doing him much good. And so maybe there are different people who believe different things about addiction, but there are a lot of people who think that if you keep throwing somebody a lifeline and they know you're going to get that lifeline and you've given them an ultimatum and then you don't follow through, there are no consequences for that person.
Who knew I would ever be on the side of a Kardashian?
Yeah, I'm very uncomfortable with you making the Kardashians seem like human beings here, Harvey. With feelings. All right. Well, obviously, fingers crossed that you know, he gets the help he needs and everyone is healthy and happy. That's a very disturbing and sad story.
It really is.
Let's move on briefly. Iggy Azalea in the news. She had maybe a worse week than Donald Trump last week.
I knew you were going to say that. I think Trump still wins, but not by much.
So Iggy found out, along with the rest of the world, that her boyfriend Nick Young of the Lakers was cheating on her because of that surreptitiously recorded video. And that may not even be the worst news she got all week, right?
Well, the IRS wants a piece of Iggy. Almost $400,000 worth for unpaid taxes in 2014. So they slapped a tax lien on her. You know, look. This happens a lot to a lot of people in Hollywood, where they don't keep their eye on the ball and they don't know what's going on with their lives, especially financially, because they're too busy and they figure, oh my God, I hired somebody that Leo DiCaprio has and so-and-so has and so-and-so has, so they got to be good. And that's the way this city works. And then you just kind of say, okay, here, you handle it. Now, I don't know that's what happened with her, but it sure is a common story. So I wouldn't be surprised if that's what's behind all of this.
$400,000. I mean, at least Iggy is the type of celebrity who has a career that's ongoing where she has a lot of money-making opportunities. I mean, she probably can come back from this in a way that maybe a lot of lesser celebrities couldn't, I think.
No, absolutely. And well, you know, I shouldn't say it.
Say it what, Harvey? Okay.
Well, Nick Young's making a lot of money, right?
Yes, of course.
What a dilemma.
Harvey, don't you dare.
Okay, I won't. Okay. But I kind of just did.
You did. Yeah. TMZ.com is where all the stories are. Watch them on TV throughout the day on Channel 11 with the OG TMZ show. TMZ Live airs Monday through Friday at 4 on 11. TMZ Sports is Monday through Friday at midnight on Fox Sports 1. And the new hilarious game show South of Wilshire is still on Channel 13 at 5:30 every afternoon. Harvey, have a great week, sir. Thanks for coming on.
You too, guys. We'll see you.
Sounds to me, Kevin, like you've got a question for us.
Would you like to take that back? No. Would you like to take that back? No. Tell me, would you, if you could, you would you, could you take that back? No. Would you like to take that back? No. Would you like to take that back? No. Tell me, would you, could you take that back?
You know, when somebody wrongs you, oftentimes all it takes to feel better is just an acknowledgement that the person was wrong, the person misspoke, the person makes an apology, and I guess that's the opportunity that we have here. You're going to bring out some things for us, Kevin, that maybe
correct.
Maybe we have a chance to wipe the slate clean a little bit by owning up to it.
We get it.
So wait.
I'm not sure
follow. We can take something back.
So, take something back. Yes, yeah.
So if we said something on the radio the first time.
Oh, God.
So if we'd like to make amends.
Right, yes. Uh-huh.
In this 12-step process of radio, then we would have the opportunity to do so now.
All right, the first one is Allie. Hard to imagine.
What a surprise.
Ralph's doing a story about people naming their children after Star Wars characters. And Bean is very, very happy with that.
Your kid is going to be a baller because he's got a Star Wars name.
Be a baller.
Yes, because he has a Star Wars name. Because people love Star Wars.
Yeah.
Do you have
any other names, or is that your only one?
Oh. I wanted Kenobi. She wanted Luke, and I said, no, that doesn't count.
She was trying to make an only one Kenobi joke. We all got it.
Would you like to take that back?
Nope.
Oh,
wow.
Are you kidding? No. Okay.
No. Are you kidding?
No.
That's something.
All right, Negan, just keep doing what you're doing.
I heard it.
Did you hear that? That's odd. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, your own farts don't smell bad. I guess what they always say.
Says the man that never takes anything back.
Well, because magic.
This is Bean. Ralph's talking about Bobby.
What?
Bobby Brown having a kid.
Congratulations to Bobby Brown. He's going to be a dad again.
Sweet. Is that sweet?
Yeah. Because think of all how good he is at making babies.
Come on, Ralph. Don't be cruel.
Would you like to take that back?
Your mic was on.
The mic was on.
Yeah. That was fine. There's nothing wrong with that. Wait a minute.
What about the lack of any response from anybody?
Well, that's on you.
That's why you're tapping the mic, because you wanted to make sure it was still on, because right, but couldn't even tell if we were still here.
Right,
because
you killed the room.
That's on you. Sometimes any stand-up will tell you, sometimes it's the audience that sucks. Sometimes it's the audience that sucks, and that was the case. There's nothing wrong with the material. No, I'm not going to take that.
Bean's extensive live comedy experience.
So this feature is just going to be called "We're Not Going to Take It Back."
We should change the name. Yeah.
Here's Ralph.
Oh my lord!
This is a chance for him to take it back. He's talking about Bobby Cannavale and Rose Byrne having a kid.
Bobby Cannavale and Rose Byrne have a newborn son. We mentioned that when the baby was born. Bobby tells People magazine that their little son Rocco has an interesting middle name. It's after Rose's father. His middle name is Robin.
Rocco Robin.
The actor also tells People that Rocco Robin, he rocks in the treetops all day long, hopping and a bopping. And
really?
Ralph, what's
really
happening?
So early.
All the little birdies, apparently, on Jaybird Street love to hear Rocco Robin go tweet, tweet, tweet. Rocco Robin.
Get him the hell out of here.
I agree.
Would you like to take that back?
I got to tell you, during that entire thing, Ralph was dying. There's no way he's taking this back.
Rocco Robin. Right.
I'm very curious if you're going to take this one back. Bearing in mind that it's a 50-year-old song, Ralph. Are you going to take it back?
50. You're scolding him.
I'm just, at least my reference was from the 80s, at least.
I'm sorry, Flip Wilson. Yeah, sorry, my reference is too old for you.
Would you like to take that back?
Yeah, I'll take that back. That was really inappropriate. But still, it made me personally laugh very, very hard.
Both times.
Yes.
Next is Allie and Bean, both. There was a story in the news about Olivia Newton-John. Her boyfriend disappeared for 12
faked his own
years.
Death.
Yeah, faked his own death. Ghosted her. Who could do that to Olivia Newton-John,
right?
By the way? Not that anybody deserves it, but seriously, she's Sandy from Greece.
She's an American icon, even though she's Australian.
Right.
She's an Australian icon who now lives in America.
She's not the one that he wanted, so you just...
Why are you the worst?
You're saying, Allie, if I understand correctly, he was not hopelessly devoted to her.
That's what I'm saying.
You two, I want to tie you together and throw you in puppy leg.
Would you like to take that back?
All right, so let's start with Allie.
I will take that back.
Wow.
Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah, you're welcome.
Why, Allie?
Does that affect your decision?
Yes, it does very much, because I was fine with it, because I don't see any difference between my don't be cruel and my hopelessly devoted. It's the same principle, and I think
they're both
fine.
Sucky.
Why did you take it back, Allie?
I didn't take the Star Wars one back because it was awesome. This one, it was a little easy.
I felt I had an obligation to keep going after you started. Okay. I am not gonna take it back.
An obligation?
I did.
What are you talking about? Just because she's bad doesn't
mean the law.
She opened the door and I walked through it. I'm not taking it back.
So she took it back and you're not.
Yeah. I know, right?
Interesting.
All right. Yeah. And finally, Ralph is doing a story about the real family behind The Sound of Music.
And it's sad news. The Von Trapp family singers are performing their final show on May 3rd at the Star Theater in Portland, Oregon. It'll be the final performance of the Von Trapp family singers, which, of course, are a singing group that goes all the way back to the 1930s, is when Captain and Maria Von Trapp started performing with their kids, and now this features the great-grandchildren of Captain Georg von Trapp and Maria von Trapp. Last year will be on May 3rd at the Star Theater, so if you're nearby, go say so long.
Nope.
Farewell.
Nope.
Adieu. A Wiedersehen to the Von Trapp singer.
Yeah! Would you like to take that back?
Because those kids sang that right, in the that Sound of Music. Mm-hmm. That's what the Von Trapp kids sing.
Right. Right. They sang that before they went up to bed, right? Well,
the only reason I did that story was to do that joke. So if I take it back, then I start questioning everything.
Right. You should.
Yeah, I should.
Would you like to take that back?
Yeah, I'll take that one back.
Oh, fantastic. We found something out about Bean that is very disturbing.
Just one thing?
And that is that he eats pizza with a fork and a knife.
I know.
Bean eats pizza, always eats pizza with a fork
even
and a
after
knife.
It's cooled off.
It's just...
Yes.
Bean.
It's a messy food. I prefer to keep things tight.
Oh,
you know me.
Messy food. You just pick it up and you bite into it. It's not messy at all.
We'll get into
the point of pizza.
We'll get into that in the next hour. Plus, Jensen Karp joins us in Ray Romano in the 7 o'clock
it's
hour.
That's pudding.
First, though, Ralph is here with another look at the show.
You don't eat pudding with your hands. I can say that's a messy food. Pizza, not a messy food. It comes built with its own plate. It's an edible plate with good stuff on top of the plate, and you get to eat the plate as well.
I don't want to eat into your time here, but I also eat sandwiches with a knife and fork.
What?
What?
Like grilled cheese, for instance. I always cut that.
Sweet.
I don't pick that up because then you get the you know the cheese and the grease.
You make
and everything
it so hard
your
to
fingers.
Love you.
Wow.
I like things to be neat. That's all. That's all it is. Nothing weird about that.
Sandwiches are neat, Bean. They're okay. You eat them and then you take a bite. It doesn't just explode.
Were you raised without napkins in your home as a child? Is this some sort of flashback where everyone had to be very careful because you're wearing your Sunday go-to-meeting clothes and you couldn't afford to wipe your hands on your pant leg?
What's wrong with you?
There's nothing wrong with it. What kind of trauma did you experience?
There's no trauma. And by the way, it affects no one that I eat these foods with a knife and fork.
It affects us deeply, and I'm not sure why, but it does.
It affects the universe, because the universe is off balance because of you.
Someone didn't love you enough when you were little, did they?
Well, that might be it. All right, what's going on with you, Mr. Garvin?
Let me give something away to people who just had to hear that and are cringing now because of the reality. Brewfest is happening. That's right, Brewfest.
Yay!
It's the mother...
We got a winner!
We didn't even pick up the phones yet. It's the Mother Lovin' Brew Fest. Everybody has a good time when you go out to Santa Anita. You get to bet on the ponies. You get to drink. You get to carouse with your friends. It's a great time. You should go. And just as a little extra bonus incentive, how about if I give a 4-pack of VIP tickets to the K-Rock Craft Brew Fest? Plus $106 in wagering money that you can spend on the ponies.
Nice.
It's a pretty good package. All this happens at the infield at Santa Anita this Saturday. 11 a.m. is when everything opens up. The first race starts at noon. Besides just the good stuff that you can do there, you can also hang out with some of our K-Rock peeps here. Stryker, Omar, Dave the King of Mexico, Lightning, Super Steve, Chip will all be in attendance. Four winners right now at 1-800-520-1067. First four callers through. At that phone number, we'll get a 4-pack of VIP tickets plus $106 to wager on the ponies. Think of that. You're getting free money to bet on the horse races with. $106 we're going to give you. You could parlay that into $14 million.
Wow.
Now, have you checked that math?
I'm not a scientist,
right.
Kevin.
No, I said just the math.
Yeah, well, I'm just saying, if you won every race,
106,
and you bet the long shot on every race,
right, I'm 25 sure, race parlay or something.
I'm sure you could probably make that kind of money.
Okay, all right.
Winning not included. All right, let's take a look at the showbiz news. It is Monday, so we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. No surprise, Batman v Superman is number one again. $52.3 million. Made it so this weekend. However, even with that impressive number, it's still a drop-off from its opening weekend of almost 70% of its box office money. Zootopia was $20 million. That made it number two. My Big Fat Greek Wedding 2, God's Not Dead, and Miracles from Heaven were the top five movies at the box office. Allegiant from the Divergent series was sixth. 10 Cloverfield Lane, Meet the Blacks, Eye in the Sky, and Deadpool for the rest of the top 10 movies at the box office. Third time, apparently not a charm for Drew Barrymore, who is now parting ways from her husband after 3 full years of wedded bliss. Her husband, Will Kopelman, and she are separating. They issued a joint statement on Saturday saying, "Sadly, our family is separating legally." Well, good. You don't want to be an illegal separator.
I hope they at least squirted out a kid before they broke up.
Oh, sure. How about 2 of them?
Oh, fantastic.
They got 2 daughters.
That's great.
3-year-old Olive and 1-year-old Frankie. The statement says, "We do not feel this takes away from us being a family." The divorce. Here's the funny thing about that. It absolutely takes away from you being a family.
That's a strange thing to say.
They say that the 2 kids, of course, are our universe, and they will always be our first priority. Say the separating 2 folks.
Right.
She was married to Jeremy Thomas for 2 short months in 1993 in her first marriage, and then Tom Green for 5 luxurious months in 2001.
So this is a new
3 years.
Best,
yeah,
right?
3 years is like a lifetime for
That's
Drew
fantastic.
Barrymore.
Fantastic. Way to go, Drew.
She's high-fiving all her friends.
They spent their entire lives together, practically. So there you go. There's that. Look, marriage may not be for everyone.
Yeah, how many times? I was thinking, how many times does it take?
If you go through two marriages total, less than a year of married time, life together.
Right. Maybe don't make
saying,
that decision.
I don't do this well.
I'm not doing something right.
I'm gonna hold off.
But now that she went 3 years, she's like, woo, she's gonna get married again.
Because maybe 4 next time.
What
on her
success.
11th or 12th marriage, she is going to be able to put together
correct
a decade. And we just did a little game we like to call, would you take that back? Would you like to take that back? How about the city of Juneau, Alaska? Would they like to take this back? April Fool's Day, of course, was last Friday. So Juneau, Alaska, had a hilarious bit where they announced they're changing their name to Uno, Alaska.
Are you kidding?
Oh, they took the Jew out. That's bad.
No, that's not the point at all, Allie. This was a promotion with the game manufacturer Mattel.
Why do they hate Jews?
Because there's a popular card game called Uno.
Right? Sure.
So for several hours, the official website read, "Welcome to Uno," and there was a banner for the card game hung outside City Hall, and they all had a good laugh.
Would you like to take that back?
Juno, would you? It's Uno, Alaska.
Uh-huh.
Now, we've changed the name.
That's so lame.
Now we're affiliated with a card game.
Wouldn't you like to be in that meeting and just hear everybody's opinion on whether they should do that or not?
Yes, this is hilarious.
Oh, that's so good.
Oh, next year we can be Boggle. Boggle, Alaska.
The answer is that there has to be some form of punishment.
You're right. There does, Donald.
Obviously.
We should build a wall around Alaska and make them pay for it.
I like it.
Today's celebrity birthday is Hugo Weaving's 56. David Cross is 52. Robert Downey Jr. celebrates his 51st birthday today. James Rhode is 40 years old. Natasha Lyonne, 37. And Eric Andre, 33 today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
I'm saying my read is that Negan was a bad guy on The Walking Dead last night.
Whew.
I know it doesn't look like it with what we saw, but I think he is not a good dude. Whew. And we will recap the season finale of season 6 of The Walking Dead with our friend Chris Hardwick coming up 1 hour from right now. The other thing that you saw all over your social media feed last night was WrestleMania 32. And believe it or not, we've got boots on the ground there, too, with our friend Jensen Karp on the phone from Dallas this morning. Hey, Jensen, how are you, dude?
Hello, friends. Yes, I'm in the town of barbecue and concealed weapons. It's ridiculous
Hey, the WrestleMania event last night was at AT&T Stadium in Dallas. How many people do they estimate were there to see the show?
There were over 110,000 people, which which is literally my nightmare panic attack, just waiting to happen. But it was remarkable how many people come to see WrestleMania.
What were the sight lines like? I don't know where your seats were, but is that a good venue for a show like this?
Well, here's the thing: they have a television in the stadium that is 60 yards long.
Right.
So even if you see ants at the bottom of at the ring, you have this huge screen where you can see each match sort of taking place in this high resolution thing. So if you're just looking for the energy of
sort of what's going on, it's totally fine. But if you're looking to see, like, if The Rock is doing that eyebrow thing, you're not going to see it.
Hey, Jensen, I know some people may be confused. Wait, isn't he the hip-hop correspondent guy? But let's talk for a minute before we get to last night about your WWE background.
Yeah, technically I'm also the beef correspondent, and there is much beef Correct. Going on in pro wrestling. I wrote WWE Raw for 7 months of my life in 2005, right out of pretty much out of college. I wrote what all the wrestlers say when they come down to the ring and they argue with each other and they tell you how they have huge muscles and they're going to beat each other up. I, as a little Jewish man, I wrote those things.
What a great gig that must have been.
It was a traveling circus. I mean, that's probably a tell-all for another day. But it was a ridiculous time where I was like working with Dusty Rhodes and writing all the words for some of my heroes. Roddy Piper I wrote for, and
wow.
Gold Dust and things that I never really, when I was going to USC to do filmic writing, I wasn't planning on talking about how I'm going to kick somebody's butt every
now,
Thursday.
Do you really love it, or do you love it ironically and you're there because you think it's hilarious that it's a thing?
It can be both, sir. You can love something ironically and love something with all of your heart. And those things, you know, when I was a kid, it was like The Rock and Stone Cold and these things that I love so much. And at the same time, like, I can look and see how ridiculous every aspect of this thing is. But I like, you know, I don't go there just to trash it. No.
Okay.
Jensen, why are they still trying to make Roman Reigns a thing? This needs to stop.
We're going deep.
I'm angry. What a waste of 5 hours.
Here's the thing, and pro wrestling is always is weird. By the way, that was the longest.
Did you say 5 hours?
Yeah.
Holy crap.
Yeah, you could have watched most of the Godfather films in the amount of time you watched WrestleMania.
That's insane.
Yeah, it was way too long. That was a problem. But Roman Reigns is sort of right now what you would consider sort of the golden child in WWE. He's been sort of selected by the higher ups to be the new champion, to be the new guy. But the problem is no fans are buying it.
No one likes him.
No, every time he comes out, he's being booed. No one is buying into sort of the authority's decision to make him the big name. And you saw that last night when every time he basically was shown on camera, you heard just a smattering of boos. And he won. He ended up becoming the new champion, but it seems no one's happy about it.
But isn't that, I mean, couldn't that be argued that's, you know, the crazy like a fox mentality where every WrestleMania fans will want to always tune in to see him because they hate him so much and they want to see him get his ass kicked? I mean, it seems like all you're trying to do is sell tickets. That works, right?
Absolutely. I mean, as a writer, we used to call it good heat or bad heat. Is the idea, which is good heat, which is like Nikolai Volkov when we were all younger, and he would sing the Russian national anthem, and we would boo him because we were American and proud. That's kind of good heat, right? That is the idea that someone comes out and you just can't stand his face. That's a totally different kind of thing.
Stand his face.
So that's what Roman has. Roman has bad heat, and it works both ways.
He's going to turn heel, though, right? He's got to.
I mean, I think he is heel. I think he is a bad guy. I think, you know, I think it plays that kind of thin line where it's like he doesn't do anything good. Last night when
he's
won,
the worst, Jensen.
Yeah, listen, you seem to be falling right into the trap that is WWE.
Yes. I have to be honest. I didn't know Allie was an expert as well.
I am.
I know, Allie, I assume Allie's standing on her chair screaming. And
really angry. It really got to me.
All right, let me ask you this. Our friend Jensen Karp on the phone from Dallas talking about WrestleMania 32 last night. You mentioned The Rock earlier, and I gotta be honest, a year ago or whatever it was that he kind of doubled down with his return and started showing up at all the events, I was very surprised because I thought The Rock, he made his name in wrestling, but then obviously has become one of the most box office bankable movie stars in the world. Why does a guy like him go back? Why is John Cena, who's on the verge of a great career himself in comedy and movies, why is he back? Why do they never leave the WWE once they can?
Well, when I wrote in 2005, we assumed we would never see The Rock again. It was sort of one of those things where they move on and go on to bigger things in the same way that when Hulk Hogan made that terrible Suburban Nanny movie, he didn't come back to wrestle. And so you kind of assume that. But nowadays, there is something to be said about not losing that fan base. And there's something huge for those guys to still be able to turn around and have a few million people see them a couple times a year. So the idea that The Rock is sort of, from what I've heard, he's told his agents, who've told him not to come back, that he doesn't care. He's going to try to show up to these WrestleMania. He's going to put his body into sort of dangerous positions just to keep that fan base. It's the same way that you see sort of like a Linkin Park come play Acoustic Christmas or whatever it is. It's like they want to come back and remind the people where it started and you know, who supported them at first and how they're never going to leave them. And it's worked out for The Rock. I think he's been able to sort of straddle that line between huge movie star and a guy who comes to beat up a man named Bray Wyatt in the middle of WrestleMania.
That Hell in a Cell match, how great was seeing Shane McMahon take that dive?
He's literally my favorite wrestler of all time. He's worth millions of dollars. He has children. He has a business that involves Japanese movie rights. I don't know why he would want to put his body on the line like he did, but he jumped from the top of a 50-foot cage onto a table, and it's as dangerous and scary as it sounds. I'm sure it's all over YouTube, but
yeah.
this man is a billion-dollar, you know, he's sort of the heir to a billion-dollar throne, and yet still finds himself putting his health on the line just so that little idiots can scream up and down when it's when he
and
falls.
Still lost that match.
And he still lost the match. Yeah, it's very hard. It's
I was mad about that too.
I mean, listen, I think we got to get you in the ring with the people that are writing it.
I will.
That Hell in the Cell that Ali referred to, I saw the video of last night too. That is a crazy contraption. Is that something they've done before, or was that a debut last night, Jensen?
They've done the Hell in a Cell for years. The steel cage has become a bit of a staple for pro wrestling. But that actual fall that you saw has only been done once before, which was by Mankind, Mick Foley, who had done it before with The Undertaker.
Yeah.
And that was the one time
he's done it before.
Yeah, and it's incredibly not safe. I mean, that was the one thing I learned during my time at WWE. Listen, it's choreographed. It's not a real thing, but that is real. There is no padding. The table is obviously a little softer than some other tables, but you can't fake that fall. That's an actual fall. So it's just a stunt that he has learned to do. And if you see it, he shows very little regard for his body. He turns almost all the way. You'll see it when you watch the clip. But yeah, there is no way. There's no faking that.
That's amazing. All right, we talked about Roman Reigns. We talked about Cena was there, The Undertaker, Shane McMahon, The Rock, Brock Lesnar last night, Chris Jericho. I mean, the WWE has done a great job, like the UFC has, of generating lots of big names. They've got a lot of stars. And last night in my feed, Jensen, I saw a lot about the women wrestling last night, too. I feel like they are really coming on.
One thing they did right last night.
If you listen, there's a lot of things you can say about the WWE, and equal rights for women was not one of them for many years. They would take sort of these swimsuit models and turn them into pro wrestlers, and the fans caught on, which was like, you know, let's get people who actually are authentic about wrestling. They wanted to see actual female wrestling, not just women on the arms of wrestlers. And the last few years, you've seen this sort of developing trend that they're getting that's happening. And last night, the women's match was, in my opinion, the most important match of the night, not just because they decided to change the title, because the title used to be called Divas Champion, which doesn't seem like they're addressing women at all in it, and it sort of focuses more on the sexy attitude nature of women being in wrestling. So at the beginning of the night, they announced they're throwing that title out, and it will now just be called the Women's Championship, which I thought was sort of a nice touch and sort of a new era for WWE. And then three girls came out, Charlotte, who's Ric Flair's daughter, Sasha Banks, and I'm losing her name right now. But
is it Eva Marie?
There you go, Becky. And Becky, and they came out, and they had a beautiful triple threat match that was actually done incredibly. And their moves are fluid, and it's going back to an era of natural wrestling, not just sort of gimmicky stuff that's going on. And
of natural fake wrestling.
Well, listen, we could dabble over details.
I'm just saying.
It was just a good match. And there's a girl named Bailey who's on her way up from sort of their developmental area. And it's just there's just an incredible amount of great women in pro wrestling, and I think it's sort of where the next step is for them.
Well, it sounds to me, Jensen, like you had a hell of a great time in Dallas at the show last night.
Listen, I had a great time. The one thing that I did want to go over is that not only is there WrestleMania, in our hotel, which is near where WrestleMania is, there was a convention where over 200 old wrestlers, the ones who aren't dead. The total was just 200. There are 200 old pro wrestlers signing autographs downstairs. And it was like just walking into my hotel and seeing Marty Jannetty, who used to be in like the Rockers in the 80s. He was so drunk, he was laying in the fountain of the hotel.
Oh.
And I thought to myself, this is what pro wrestling means to me.
That's a beautiful story.
That is a beautiful story.
Thank you, guys. Thank you.
All right. Jensen Karp, follow him on Twitter at JensenClan88. He, of course, has got the podcast and the gallery, and he's a writer, producer, artist, manager. And we're going to have you back in soon in a few weeks, right, when your book comes out. June 7th is the date of Jensen's book, Kanye West Owes Me $300 and Other True Stories from a White Rapper Who Almost Made It Big. That's a date. We're doing that, right, Jensen?
I would love to be there as long as you'll let me be there.
All right, man. Thanks so much for coming on. Have a great trip back. Bye-bye. Comedian Ray Romano joins us in minutes. Of course, also one of the co-stars of HBO's Vinyl on Sunday night. That's coming up here on K-Rock. And Chris Hardwick talks Walking Dead at 8 o'clock. You know, I know we still got a lot of ground between now and the election, Kevin. And I was thinking I was going to vote for Bernie Sanders for president. But now that I found another candidate who's really dialed in on my issue, I think I may have to instead throw my support behind Governor Kasich from Ohio.
And your issue is?
My issue is it's about time people started using knives and forks like civilized humans to eat their food rather than just picking it up with their hands and mashing it into their open maws. That's
like
my
spaghetti,
issue.
Like spaghetti, you mean?
No, I'm talking about in this case like pizza because
nope.
Governor Kasich apparently is in hot water with some people who disapprove of him at a pizzeria in New York the other day eating pizza with a knife and fork the way God intended.
That's nonsense.
By the way, he was questioned on it and he said, I was eating pizza before that reporter was even born. So boom.
How is that a response?
That just means he's been bad longer.
There's nothing bad about it because you know who's not walking out of there with pizza all over his face and his shirt?
Everyone.
Because they use napkins.
People
you
have
idiots.
Learned how to eat. You can eat pizza.
But it's neater to eat it with a knife and fork. Anyway, I think the clip we have might be him on Good Morning America, maybe talking about the incident.
John Kasich trails with 21%. The Ohio governor is in New York today where he defended eating pizza with a fork and a knife at Gino's Pizzeria in Queens.
The pizza came scalding hot, okay? And so I use a little fork. You know what my wife, who's on a spring break with my daughters, you know what she said? I'm proud of you. You finally learned how to use a utensil properly.
See, the people who aren't using knives and forks are the people who just haven't learned how to use silverware yet. I'm with John Kasich on
this
one.
That's just absurd.
Well, we wanted to
Plus,
get the...
Plus, what a terrible spring break. Your mom goes with you.
That sucks. We wanted to get an opinion from somebody in the industry, so we have a spokesperson for the American Association of Pizza Makers on the phone, and I'm sure he'll tell us that it's fine to eat a pizza however you want. It's going to be Dominic Giordano, who joins us on K-Rock now. Hi, Dominic. How are you?
Hey, what's the matter with you?
Well, we appreciate...
Let me ask you one thing.
Yes.
Why are you such a stupid head?
Oh, now why would you say something like that? I would think that as long as people are eating pizza, your job is done.
No pizza for you. You don't get enough pizza.
Oh. No pizza for me.
Don't you? I don't want to see you even look at a pizza. You are dead to me when it comes to a pizza.
So people that eat pizza with a knife and a fork.
They are the worst people in the world.
Agree.
What?
They are people of Satan is what they are.
That's correct.
Satan's minions who eat a good old-fashioned, delicious pizza with a knife and a fork, they should be, first of all, their testicles should be tied to some sort of transportation, and then they should be drug over a bed of a broken glass, and then dunked in a lemon juice.
That just seems harsh for a guy who's just eating food with a fork. I mean, really?
Is too good for you.
Now, why do you feel so strongly about that? I mean, again, the deliciousness of the pizza is what I'm all about, and I'm just trying to eat it in a neat way where I don't get my hands all greasy. What's wrong with that? Dominic?
Even you say it, make it sound so stupid.
It just sounds so dumb.
Hey, need a guy. Hey, Mr. Knife or Fork. Hey, Johnny Knife or Fork, I told you. Hey, Johnny Knife or Fork, do you eat a donut with a knife or fork?
Great
question.
I don't really eat donuts.
I'm sorry, I can't hear. What's that?
I don't really eat donuts, but I guess it would depend on how messy it was going to be.
Dr. Steven Asshole, let me ask you something.
Yes.
Do you eat a cookie with a knife and a fork?
No, I'll pick up a cookie.
Pick up my pizza. What? My pizza not good enough for you? My pizza clean for you? Get all over your hands. Oh, Oreo, I rub it all over my body, but pizza won't touch with my hands.
No, because it's got the grease and it's got the cheese and it's got the sauce. I mean, there's a lot of things that can go south if I mishandle that.
Mishandle it?
How much can go wrong?
Hey, it's not a nuclear waste, okay? You don't need a hazmat suit and a pair of tongs to pick it up. You just take a slice of pie, you take a bite off at a pointy end. Maybe you don't know how it works. Maybe you take it, try to put it flat against your face and suck the cheese and sauce off the flat part. Here's a little tip for you. Get the pointy end. It's tailor-made for your mouth. It's tapered for your mouth to open up and have a nice bite of pizza pie.
Mr. Giordano, forget about me for a moment.
I can't forget about you. You are going to haunt my dreams for the rest of my life.
Do you think that Americans should not vote for John Kasich for president because he eats pizza with a knife and fork?
Not only should they not have voted for him, because he is everything that is wrong with the world.
Mm-hmm.
But they should build a wall around him and make him pay for it.
Quick reminder, we are still giving away tickets for Coachella. Kevin, that's only 11 days away.
No, I can't wait.
Not this weekend, but next. Countdown to Coachella is on. We got your tickets this afternoon at 5 o'clock. Sold out 3-day passes, access to the Kara Coachella house. And you qualify to drive home in a new 2016 Jeep Renegade. 5 o'clock this afternoon. Win your tickets details at Kara.com. We had our friend Ray Romano on the show right when HBO's Vinyl was debuting a few weeks ago. And we're having him on again now because he killed the show for America last week when he participated in a threesome that nobody needed to see. Ray, why would you do this to us? Why would you make us, the paying subscribers to HBO, have to see you with your shirt off? Like, what's going on with you, sir?
Once again, Bean, you've topped yourself with my intro. The last time I was on, I think your intro was, we wanted to get somebody, Bobby Cannavale or Olivia Wilde. We couldn't get them, so here's Ray Romano.
Yep, right.
That's how Bean works. That's how he does it.
I want you to always feel welcome when you come on the show, Ray. That's what it's about.
I like it. I like it.
What was that like for you? I mean, you're a guy who is, a little bit nervous about how you're perceived anyway.
Yes.
And there you are on the set, basically buck naked to how it looked on my end. Was it awful? Was it the worst day of your life having to film that thing?
Because I went on the talk shows and I told people, I'm nude and this and that. But if you look closely, only half the butt was showing. And I didn't even know because the scene where I'm naked is I wake up hungover in the morning and kind of always find me naked on the bed face down.
Right.
So when we did the scene, I have to prepare. So I get there, I'm naked, I'm laying face down. And then a teamster comes along and positions the sheet on my butt. And I didn't know where he was putting the sheet. And we, it was left of crack.
Yeah.
So I think I shortchanged the audience, actually.
I felt kind of let down.
So you feel like you should have done more?
Well, I think I talked a lot about it. And, there wasn't much there. I'll tell you what was funny was, so we did the scene. And then I stand and he wakes me up. He kicks me and I stand up. And then I put on my underwear, and I'm wearing like what they, the sock thing. I'm wearing that, mm-hmm. And after like the first take, Cannavale said to me, hey, bro, you don't got to wear the sock, if you don't want to. You got to wear it for me. And I'm like, I'm not wearing it for you. And he says, because I don't wear it when I do it. And I don't wear it. And I go, yeah, I know why you don't wear it. You know? About 2 more inches of reason why you don't wear that.
Ray, we were watching that episode, and our kids started to come into the room. We were like, get out!
You don't want to see Uncle Ray this way.
I watched it with my wife, and we were in New York, and my grown children.
Oh, yeah.
What is wrong with you? That's a terrible choice.
I couldn't avoid it. And now I don't know. Allie, maybe what's the right jewelry to buy when you've had a threesome?
Yeah, that's definitely diamonds, for sure.
I think it's more. I don't think jewelry is going to cut it. I think I got to get, like, a Tesla or something.
So, Ray, you were too young for the kind of nonsense. Back in the 70s, you were too young for the kind of nonsense we see these characters doing on the show. But could anyone survive as much cocaine as Bobby does as Richie Fenestra? I feel like it would kill him after about 2 days of that usage.
Yeah. And by the way, it wasn't that I was too young. I was too nerdy, actually. I was too lame. Not lame, but I just didn't.
Oh, no, lame. Yeah.
Yeah, lame. Lame and nerdy. He hangs in there, boy.
He sure does.
He comes back. But I don't know if you saw last night's episode, but he straightened up a little bit, but things, there's still 2 more to go.
Yeah, things didn't end well for him last night. I don't want to give it away if anyone is about to watch it, but
yeah.
Not looking good for Richie.
Yeah, no, but that's, well, we got 2 more episodes to figure it all out, but we'll see. But back to my wife.
Yes.
She won't, I'm just trying to stay low till it blows over.
Right.
And I can tell it's not happening because, like the other day, I'm just trying to like stay out of her way, you know what I mean? And the other day, we had this new mattress in the house, and I said to her, I can tell she's still kind of pissed off. Cause I go, listen, this mattress is good, but every time I wake up, my hip hurts. To which she looks at me and goes, no, it doesn't, and walks away. Just doesn't even accept that I'm injured, you know?
Oh, no.
nothing I can do or
say. Is it possible this may never go away?
I don't know. I think if they kill off my character, she'll cheer
right.
up a little.
She'll be happy, right? Well, when you come home with a threesome injury, it's a tough sell with the wife, I think.
Yeah, all right. It was a good threesome. It was
the only acceptable threesome.
The only acceptable threesome, absolutely, yeah.
This is the one thing that you like. I told her that this is kind of humbling. We did one take, and then I said to one of the ladies, I go, oh boy, my wife can't watch this episode, and she looked at me and she said, yeah, I know what you mean. You know what? Your wife should watch it with my dad.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it may be worse for her, I guess.
Yeah.
Well, you're doing a great job on the show as Zach Yankovic. All the kidding aside, Ray, you really, I love your character on the show. I really do.
Appreciate it. Thank you. Yeah, having fun. I mean, it was fun to do.
Vital Layers on HBO Sunday nights. Let's talk about a live event where you can spend the evening with Ray Romano, not in a threesome. It's coming up fast on Sunday, April
the
17th.
Well, maybe. I mean, don't rule a threesome
depending
out.
On how it goes, right? You're going to be at the Broad Stage in Santa Monica. Now, this is not the first time we've talked to you about this particular evening of comedy. You do this for Harvest Home every year, right, Ray?
Yeah, it's a charity that me and my wife, we try to help out. And I have done this comedy night about 4 years in a row. And, yeah, it's called A Night with Ray Romano and Friends. Has nothing to do with a threesome.
How many friends are listed?
There's two other comedians. Okay. Myself, P.J. Byrne, who's on Vinyl.
Oh, love P.J.
Yeah, he's cool. He's going to MC the show. And we have Dominique, who was one of the finalists in Last Comic Standing. And Nate Bergates, another fun, very funny comic, and myself. And it's for Harvest Home. They do these... They help these homeless pregnant women, you know, find a place to have their baby, and they give them support, and they get them on their feet, and it's a real cool thing. It's a real cool night.
Ray, how do you find a charity like that? How did they come to you?
My wife actually went and visited the place. My wife was, heard about it, and she went, and, you know, these women have their babies, and they have this program where to give these ladies, like, a day off. You can go and stay with the babies for the day.
No kidding.
And my wife did it, yeah, and just fell in love with this charity and said, let's do this, you know. And, and it's a really great – it's a small place, you know, but you get to see what your money's doing for these people, you know. It's not like – I mean, I love doing – for all these charities, but it's cool when you can actually see what – where the money's going and everything.
So this is going to be Sunday night, April 17th at 7:30 at the Broad Stage in Santa Monica. Ray Romano and friends.
Yes,
sir. Yeah, and by the way, there's a pre-show wine reception included. You can get buy tickets with the code BUNDLE20, and you can get them at harvesthome.net. That's where all the information – excuse me, theharvesthome.net if you want to get all the information. Theharvesthome.net, and that's the name of the charity also, Sunday, April 17th. Ray, great thing that you're doing, and we always appreciate you coming on the show. And keep your shirt on for the last two episodes, would you, buddy?
Is it just the shirt you worried about?
K-Rock.
Haven't they taken that out? They didn't leave that in the final mix?
Well, I think they wanted that.
Why? Yeah. Who would want that?
The Red Hot Chili Peppers?
Getting your teeth drilled.
Hey, our friend Chris Hardwick, the host of Talking Dead on AMC, will be joining us right after the top of the hour to talk about last night's season 6 finale of The Walking Dead.
Right?
You have no idea how not cool that is.
Well, I thought it was pretty cool.
The
anyway.
Thing that happened with those people.
Right?
Oh, and then all the zombies.
Yep, you don't have to tell us.
And the guy who showed up when the zombies were there.
That's right. All of that happened. Oh, you did see last night's episode.
Nuts. I'm shaking to my core.
Well, we'll discuss. It's a great show. It's a great show. You don't know what you're talking about.
May have been the best episode of the series.
Great. Okay.
I feel like you're alone in that.
There's a new sun.
Really?
There's a new day. Let's get going.
What, Ralph?
It's a new day. Let's get going. That's what I'm saying.
We like that show.
All right.
But seriously, everyone, just all, just like a member of the family or something.
What?
Something happened to them deep, personally happened. No, it's television.
We're invested, man.
Invest this into there.
I, nope.
Oh, no.
Well,
no,
I'm saying. Put, not, I'm going to make it a deposit
no, sir.
Nope. In your bank.
No.
Nope. No, thank you.
Yes. My bank is closed.
It's a holiday.
Your branch has limited hours? Is that what you're saying?
All right. So we'll talk with Chris coming up. First, though, what's going on in the world of show business?
Well, a lot of things, first of all, because it's Monday. That means the weekend. Everybody went to the movies. What'd they go to see? Well, a lot of them went to see Batman v Superman. Sucker! $52.3 million made it number one. Zootopia, My Big Fat Greek Wedding 2, God's Not Dead 2, Miracles from Heaven. We're the top five movies at the box office, then Allegiant from the Divergent series at number six, followed by Cloverfield Lane, Meet the Blacks, Eye in the Sky, and Deadpool. Those are your films. You know, I found Suspiciously Missing from this list, and I think it's out.
Hello, my name is Doris.
No, stop it with that.
You should see that.
You should see that. You should see it.
Okay.
I saw The Light, the Hank Williams biopic. Is that not out yet?
I think it is.
I thought it was, too.
Yeah, I think it is.
Maybe it's just in limited release as of now, and that's why it didn't show up in the top 10. But I was hoping to see that this weekend. I couldn't find it.
I see it playing Arclight Hollywood, playing at the Landmark, Arclight Sherman Oaks. I mean, that's in a few theaters.
You didn't try very hard, did you?
Sherman Oaks. I didn't look at Sherman Oaks.
Well, no, that's where you went wrong.
I know. I look at Sherman Corn.
Listen to this review headline. I saw The Light, but I wish I hadn't.
Oh,
that is not a good sign.
No, you didn't. I love Tom Hiddleston.
I do, too. I love him as much.
He's the best guy.
Yeah, he's great. He's great.
He was in Chicago. See, he was in Chicago, and he showed up at a local TV station to do an interview to promote I Saw the Light, his Hank Williams film. And so what he did was he stepped in to do the weather, because there was a lot of thunder going on in the Chicagoland area.
Mm-hmm.
And Loki, his character from the Marvel movies, is the brother of Thor, God of Thunder.
Right.
So it all tied together.
Right.
And so it was hilarious. Here's a little taste of Tom Hiddleston doing the news. So,
Loki, what have we got there?
Well, you know, my brother from another brother's been misbehaving. the God of Thunder has brought his skill set to bear on the local weather, shall I say. So there is this huge storm front coming in, and all that means is that Chris Hemsworth has taken his hammer, he's smashed it on the surface of the sky, and it's going to rain a hell of a lot. So good luck with that. And back to you,
sir. Very good. That was awesome. Okay. Good luck with that.
Good luck with that.
That was on in Chicago TV?
It was on Chicago. That's why I thought we'd try to get the feelings of a true Chicagoan. Johnny Chicago is here to tell us how he feels about
that. Hey, Johnny Chicago.
How you guys doing?
Hey, Johnny Chicago.
Hey, Kevin, I haven't met Kevin before. How you doing there, Kevin?
I'm good. How are you, Johnny?
I'm fantastic. This is great. When celebrities stop by a good Chicago area news station to report on a weather, a guy like Tom Hiddleston himself, that was a great time. I loved it.
So you approve?
I approve that message.
Any other take on this?
How did I miss this?
I wish he would do the weather all the time. Every day. I don't even know who the local weather guy over there is, but they got to get rid of him because Tom Hiddleston is the man.
You're Johnny Chicago. You don't know who does the weather in Chicago?
They're always rotating it. They're like transplants.
They're not rotating at all. This guy's been on for years.
I have to do my research on who does the weather over there.
From weather people.
You're just from Chicago.
It doesn't work that way.
You'd be familiar with the story.
Rotate.
I'm glad we got your take.
Thanks,
great
Johnny
time. Chicago.
You guys take care.
This was a good This was poorly thought out.
Yes, it was. And it's on you, by the way.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. I thought maybe it would work out better than it did.
Yeah, well. Didn't we all?
Oh, well. Today's celebrity birthdays. Hugo Weaving is 56 years old today. David Cross turns 52. Robert Downey Jr., 51 years old today. James Rhode, who from Psych is probably where you know him best. He is 40. Natasha Lyonne is 37 years old. And Eric Andre, 33. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beach.
Oh, I've been looking forward to this all day long. Give me some of that Walking Dead music while we break down last night's season finale of season 6 of The Walking Dead with our good friend Chris Hardwick, of course, the host of Talking Dead, immediately on afterwards on AMC. Hey, Chris. How you doing, man?
Good morning. How are you guys?
We're great. Was that the real, actual Lucille, the bat with the barbed wire around it, on your set last night?
from the actual one they used in the show, or do they recreate those as a prop for you to use?
They recreated it as a prop. I should have just said it was the real one.
Sure.
We wouldn't know.
No one would have known.
We have no way of double checking.
Such an idiot. Yes, two of the real ones.
So, Chris, why don't you give the spoiler alert before we get into the conversation about last night's show?
Well, ladies and gentlemen listening in the Los Angeles, greater Los Angeles area, there are spoilers that are about to happen from The Walking Dead. And since we treat spoilers the same way that we used to treat people who sold drugs to children, you should probably turn this off right now if you don't want to hear about what happened on The Walking Dead last night. And if you're in a grocery store and it's playing on the loudspeakers, jam celery into your ears as you are shopping for your soup.
That's great advice. All right. Yes. My first question of many that I have for you is, does Enid have to spend the entire summer in that closet now?
I'll tell you, that's one of the big cliffhangers because...
that's your first question, B?
Yes, it is.
Well, you know, it's a good question because when that happened on the show, I was like, wait a minute, who's going to be there to let her... Like, who's going to know she's in there?
Right.
If Carl doesn't come back.
Right.
As of right now, she's still in the...
She's screwed. Like, there's no reason to... We don't know, but I hope that Carl flagged somebody down before he jumped into the RV and said, hey, wait till we're gone and then go let Enid out of the closet. We never saw that, but we're hoping that happens.
We're only like a minute away from someone on YouTube posting footage from that to R. Kelly's Trap in the Closet. We're only a minute away from someone making that.
Now, we knew that last night it was finally going to be revealed. We were going to get to see Negan in the flesh, played by the great Jeffrey Dean Morgan. And this was something that Walking Dead fans of the comic book have been anticipating for years. What is your assessment on how they handled it on the show last night, Chris?
I think Jeffrey Dean Morgan is an amazing Negan, and I thought it was going to be a difficult character to cast because he is the darkest force in the entire comic series, but he's also incredibly charismatic, which is a tough thing to pull off. But Jeffrey Dean Morgan, who was the comedian, and he played the comedian in Watchmen, which is a similar tone of a character, and I thought he was great. I know some people are like, I can't believe there's a cliffhanger. It honestly, you know, again, I'm going to say that, and that's a nice way of putting it.
Sure.
But I honestly did not bother me. I actually really enjoyed watching the Eeny, Meeny, Miny, Moe, seeing the first person perspective and knowing that someone is dead.
Same.
We're not going to know for a few months, but that's.
But it was Carl, right? Right? Well, perfect scenario. Isn't Carl the only person we know that it can't be? Because
Lucille, Carl.
Because he said something about, hey, if somebody squawks, rip the kid's other eye out. So that it made it sound to me like that's the only person it can't be of the group.
Come on!
Yeah, I would be very surprised if it was Carl. In my mind, it either had to be... I don't know. Actually, you know, I'd be surprised if it was Daryl, but obviously it could be. I mean, I think a lot of the money's on Glenn, but who knows, you know? And also, it could have been Abraham, because there's a death that happens this season that was similar to how Abraham died in the comics, so maybe this is how they were doing it.
Oh.
Right. But I don't know. But I honestly don't know.
Now, in the comic, though, it is Glenn, right?
Yeah, that's a huge spoiler, but yeah, it is. It is. In the comic, it's Glenn, and it's one of the most upsetting. It was when I remember reading it and having to put the comic down and reading it again later and being physically upset by it for days after I read it. It's a very upsetting, and the way that Charlie Adlard drew it is so chilling, and it was really intense.
The way that he really played intense. It last night, which was he was saying awful things, but he was smiling and just sort of having a good time. He was good.
Negan, but in the comics, the F word is every other word out of his mouth.
Mm.
So, you know, they obviously had to get around that. I mean, they couldn't. You could never bleep Negan because it would just sound like the emergency broadcast tone the entire time.
You had Robert Kirkman on as one of your guests on Talking Dead last night. And by the way, thank you for continuing to do that show, because there's no show that it's more essential than After Walking Dead.
I appreciate it.
And he was talking about how he thought it was so neat that 100-plus issues in, he could essentially reboot the series with a whole new world order, you know, to use Negan's words last night. And I feel that way, too. I almost feel like it's a new show coming back with a completely different hierarchy next season, and that's really exciting.
Yeah, because ultimately the world, you know, their world was very small for six seasons, and now their world is entirely expanded. You know, I mean, like, you feel you it's been very kind of intimate, and even though they've been running around, it's, you haven't really gotten a sense, until they kind of hinted at it with the wolves, that there was a lot of other stuff out there, and there might be stuff out there that they don't know or understand. And, you know, there was so much hubris in the group, particularly from Rick this half of the season. And every time they killed a bunch of their saviors, you knew that it was going to come back at them.
It was not cool, is what I heard.
It was not cool, to use Negan's words.
It was not cool.
Chris, forgive me if this is a stupid question. I could be dead wrong about this. But it seemed to me, looking at all of the groups of saviors, not only the ones that were positioned to try to stop the guys from making it, you know, to the hospital and everything, and including the large group at the end, are there no women at all in the Saviors?
Without giving away, I mean, obviously I don't know what they're going to do on the show. In the comics, there are.
Okay. But I didn't see any. Did I just miss it, or did we not see any women in the entire group on everything we've seen with the Saviors so far?
I don't. Well, we did actually in the, when Daryl first rescues Dwight. In the forest.
Right. Okay. But so, there were a lot of people there last night, and they were all dudes.
That was weird. Just, yeah, it was basically just like a big bro biker gang. but in the Saviors in the comics, there is a, well, no, actually, yeah, and then also Alicia Witt from a few episodes ago, when they raid that one compound and murder everyone in their sleep, there were.
Oh,
and
that's then, right. Yeah, the compound.
And then the scenes with Maggie and Carol and you know, when they're all like, we're all Negan, you know.
Gotcha.
So hey, there just weren't last night.
Speaking of Carol, dead?
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. The two guys who showed up and extended a hand to Morgan are probably from this other whole organization that are in the comics that is great.
And that's the Kingdom, right? Is that what that is?
Probably, yes.
Probably, okay.
So,
I mean, you got to say that because they do you know, mix and match, right? You don't know what the show's going to do.
Yeah, they do mix and match. So you just don't know. That's why I say, like, well, you know, because some people die in certain ways in the comics and they don't die that way in the show, that means that they could meet other ends. So you just don't know.
Chris, have you heard any ratings from last night yet?
I have not, but there was an excessive amount of engagement on social media.
Yes, there was.
Some of it was in all caps and had swears.
What? On the internet?
I mean, come on. You mean when people don't have to be accountable for what they say? I don't know. It's crazy.
Chris, did you personally like that episode? I loved it.
I personally loved the episode. And I've been defending the episode because there's a contingency of people who really wanted to see who it was, you know, and they really feel like, why didn't I get to see who it was? And then
never seen a cliffhanger before in any form?
I guess. I don't know. I mean, it's just, I think people who read the comics were very passionate, had certain expectations, and this was different than what they foresaw, and it wasn't exactly how they wanted it to turn out. But, you know, I say, yes, I like it, but, you know, I don't know, you know, if people completely believe everything I say, because they, you know, I work for the network.
Right. Well, you're a shill for the man, right.
I'm a shill for the man, and I, you know, like corporate dong and whatnot, but I really do like the episode, and I thought it was so beautifully directed, and I love what Scott's doing. He's taking the viewer on this ride. You know, there are things you don't know, and that's cinematic, and that's the way you engage your audience. So I actually really liked it. But
yeah, I thought it was beautiful the way it the noose kept tightening. They kept thinking that they were getting away, and it just was just worse and worse and worse every minute.
I mean, Rick's face.
And
I mean,
you're not, there's no corporate dong on your end because right? you say stuff when you don't like stuff.
Yes.
And Andrew Lincoln, by the way, that's the first time we've had to play him terrified and defeated, and he was brilliant. He was great last night.
Yeah, you can see in his face when he has to get down on his knees. And what's brilliant about it is that he can't. You would think in that situation someone would go, please, let's talk about. But he knows, because of the way it was set up for the last 5-6 episodes, that they've murdered so many of the saviors
yeah.
that he's just like, yeah, they have us.
Yep.
They have us, and there's absolutely
he's out of chips. Exactly.
Yeah.
Hey, Chris, Fear the Walking Dead comes back Sunday. There's no after show for that one, though, right?
There is an after show for that one, yeah.
No kidding!
Rolling
right in. So you don't even get a week off.
No, I'm going to talk about zombies for almost every weekend this year. I'm very happy about it.
All right. Fear the Walking Dead returns to AMC Season 2. And that was a great show, too, by the way. And then look for The Talking Dead right after. And don't forget, you can see Chris every night at midnight on Comedy Central. You are the best. We appreciate you squeezing us in. You're very busy schedule. We'll talk to you again soon, my friend.
Thanks, guys. Take care. Have a good morning.
Bye-bye. Our friend Andrew Siciliano tweeted yesterday that opening day should be a national holiday in America. When baseball returns after a long, cold winter, it's cause for celebration. Am I right? Who's with me?
Woohoo!
Allie, you're with me a little bit, right?
I like baseball.
The Los Angeles Dodgers, by the way, open up in San Diego against the Padres at 4:05 this afternoon. And let me tell you what's remarkable about that is you're going to be able to see it on TV because it's on ESPN, and that's the only reason. But hope you enjoy it, because who knows when the next time is you'll get a chance to see a Dodgers game. We wanted to find out what's going on as we enter into what, third season, fourth season without the Dodgers on TV that people can watch? We thought we'd catch up with Meg James from the Los Angeles Times, who wrote a piece about it last Thursday in the paper. Hey, Meg, welcome to the show. How are you?
Good, good. How are you guys doing?
Very good. Doing great. Appreciate you joining us. Happy baseball season to you, first of all.
Is that a thing?
Oh, yeah. No, it's a big thing, particularly okay. in my household.
All right.
And second of all, how long has this been going on?
Well, we're entering the third season in which the Dodgers will not be on TVs throughout the basin here in Los Angeles.
And we remember when this controversy first came up, and we said, you know what, we're so used to seeing those things on TV where they go, hey, contact your cable provider if you don't want to lose this channel. I mean, those kind of battles go on all the time.
And it always gets worked out.
And yeah. it always gets worked out. And then we thought, well, they blew it that season, but clearly in the offseason they'll get their heads together and it won't happen again next year. And then the whole next season there was no Dodgers, and here we are going to a third season. What's the holdup, Meg?
Well, I mean, it's a huge dispute, and it goes back to sort of the changing economics of television, but what DirecTV and Cox Communications and Dish and others have said is that the Dodgers and Time Warner Cable are asking an astronomical sum for this channel, this TV channel dedicated to the Dodgers, and the pay TV providers just say it's too much, too rich, it's only one team for that channel, and they don't want all of their subscribers to have to subsidize the bill.
Why does it have to be a whole dedicated channel to the Dodgers like the Yankees have? Why can't it just be some sort of a deal where they work out with Channel 5 or Channel 13 or somebody like that to play the games?
Well, that's a very good point. And even in New York, the broadcast TV channels do get about 40 games a year, but not here in Los Angeles. When they made the channel, which the Dodgers own, Sportsnet LA, they decided to make sure that the other providers carried it. They wanted to make the games exclusive to the channel. And a lot of people have said, well, why not, you know, combine the channels, or why not just leave it on Fox Sports? But the whole plan was to help subsidize the team with this TV revenues that they got from this exclusive channel. And it's backfired on them, although it hasn't backfired on the Dodgers financially, because Time Warner Cable is guaranteeing the revenue that they pay the team, or Guggenheim Baseball Management.
And I feel like a lot of people are letting the Dodgers off the hook with this. They're saying, oh, Time Warner needs to get it together. This is the Dodgers doing.
Well, actually, it's the Dodgers and Time Warner Cable, because Time Warner Cable paid, agreed to this big contract.
Mm-hmm.
And the Dodgers, you know, went into the contract knowing that they were going to have their revenues guaranteed. And so it's just been a horrible situation really for everybody, because I do think that the Dodgers have had a little bit of a publicity problem, because a lot of fans realize that, hey, if they hadn't asked so much money, maybe DirecTV and the other providers would have been more willing to carry this channel.
It has to ultimately hurt the Dodgers, though, to not have their product be in front of people in cases of, you know, just them being engaged and their ability to enjoy and follow the season, and certainly to make new fans. If you don't have your games on TV, it's going to make it harder for you, too, right?
I think you make a great point, and I think that's one of the long-term sort of downsides to, you know, sort of going for all the money up front, is you risk losing, you know, younger fans, fathers, you know, who watch, you know, the baseball with their kids, and I think that that's sort of the long-term publicity problem, or actually just sort of fan generation problem. What the Dodgers would say is, though, that they still have record turnouts at the stadium. They have sellouts almost every game, and it's one of the highest attended ballparks in the nation. So they haven't seen actually the revenue problems, you know, at the stadium for turnout. But I do think that if fewer people can watch the team on TV, and their ratings have been really low, then that will have a long-term impact.
Isn't that so interesting? I mean, especially when you've got a team that hasn't won a championship since the 80s, that they are still so popular in terms of people going out to see the game. And that's not an inexpensive ticket to go to Dodger Stadium either.
No, and the parking's expensive, and it's difficult to get to the stadium. So people really want to turn out. And it's a great experience when you get to the ballpark. There's no doubt about that. But I think the bigger issue is, you know, how do you continue to make sure that, you know, the Dodgers resonate, particularly in a year where the Rams are coming back, so there's going to be more competition for, you know, sports teams and sports loyalty.
And baseball in general is, across the nation, is having trouble attracting younger fans, too. It is not nearly as popular as football. It's not nearly as popular as basketball with young people anyway, so it seems like they'd be doing everything they can to stop that tide. Now, Meg, you said in the first line of your article last week in the Times, Time Warner Cable has surrendered the ball. Is this dead? Are they not even talking it anymore? Have they just given up and said, oh, well, see you next season?
Well, a lot of people think that this season is going to be another wash. I'm not quite so gloomy. The difference is that Time Warner Cable is about to be acquired by another cable company, Charter Communications, and so they're going to come into this dispute fresh. They might, you know, have a way to work it out that Time Warner Cable has been unable to. One of the main reasons I think that Time Warner Cable and DirecTV have been at loggerheads is because they're direct competitors, and DirecTV, you know, doesn't want to help Time Warner Cable with its business, and I think that's one of the reasons why, in addition to the price, the dispute has dragged on. So in a few months, maybe in the next couple of months, there'll be a new owner of Time Warner Cable, and so therefore there could be a fresh sort of pitch to the other pay TV providers.
I hope so. I mean, look, I understand they're all running businesses, and no one blames them for trying to make money, but it doesn't seem like there's anyone involved in this squabble that is thinking about the fan. It just seems like the people are really being left out of the equation here.
Well, you know, if you read my email, every time I write a story about the Dodger Channel, I just get, you know, tons of letters from angry fans who are upset with Time Warner Cable, upset with the Dodgers, upset with DirecTV. I mean, there's really no winners here.
I got to tell you, Dave, the King of Mexico, who's our producer, he won't listen to it on the radio.
Mm-mm.
He's like, you know what, if it's on TV, I'll watch it, but I'm not going to listen to it on the radio.
And Bean, you mentioned it was on ESPN today, but won't they black that out here in L.A.?
Yeah, a couple listeners have suggested that. I don't know if that's the case.
It should be on. If it's on ESPN, they have the national rights, which would include this area. But you're right. In some markets, they do black it out when there's a national broadcast. But it's going to be an interesting dispute. And also, this year is particularly poignant because it's Vin Scully's last year. So a lot of fans really feel like they're being robbed of a treasure, a Los Angeles treasure.
Absolutely. Meg James, corporate media reporter for the Los Angeles Times, latimes.com. You can follow her on Twitter, at Meg James, L-A-T. Thank you for doing the piece last week, and thanks for coming on the Kevin DeBean Show to talk to us about
it. Thanks for having me.
You bet.
Thank you. All right, we've already got Alfred on the line, but I think what Meg said is probably true. There are a lot of Dodgers fans out there who emailed her who probably feel like their voice isn't being heard. And this might be a good opportunity to give us a call and tell us what you're feeling about the Dodgers not being on TV for another year. And what you brought up about Dave is really interesting to me, Kevin.
Well, I just think, yeah, I think especially younger people don't listen to AM radio for anything.
Mm-mm.
Unless you're in the car, maybe, Dave said.
Right, but at home, he would never put the radio on to listen to Dodgers, even though he's a hardcore, lifelong Dodgers fan.
Right.
I mean, they're burning him.
And then you asked him, what about the playoffs? And he said no.
That's
crazy.
That is crazy. So how are you feeling as a Dodger fan right now? Are you just going to listen to the games on the radio? Or are you going to swear off the Dodgers because you feel like they don't care about you? Because I have news for you. They don't care about you. We want to take your calls on this. 1-800-520-106, and we'll talk to you right after this on K-Rock. All right, here's the way you can feel the pain of our Kevin Amin listeners that are on the phone, Kevin, is when you hear the word baseball, just think hockey. Just think, Heidi, we're talking about you can't see the Kings anymore. You can't see them ever on TV.
Yeah, that would anger me.
It would be a great amount. You'd be ticked off, right? Yeah. That's what lots of Dodgers fans are going through right now. We just talked to Meg James from the Los Angeles Times saying they threw in the towel. They've come to an impasse. It's not going to happen for this season. As of right now, things could change down the road. But now we're the third season in a row where you can't watch the Dodgers on TV unless you have Time Warner Cable. So we're talking to fans right now at 1-800-520-1067 about how that makes you feel and what you're going to do about it. Let's start with Steve. He's in Burbank. He's up first on line three.
Hey, Steve.
Yo, yo, what's up?
What do you think, Dodgers?
Don't go to the games, people.
Don't go to the games.
Don't go to the stadium, bottom line.
Well, now, it's interesting you say that because Meg was talking about how they are one of the highest grossing teams in the league, the highest attendance of almost any team in baseball, and that does make them look outside and go, hey, I guess people love us. I guess we're doing things right.
Yeah, they're not seeing a problem in their pocket, so, until that happens.
The problem with that, Steve, is that you can never get everyone on the same page. So you'll never talk. You know, if the Dodger Stadium was empty, that would send a message really quickly, probably one game.
Exactly. You'll never get it. But if, instead of 55,000 showing up and you get 10,000, they'll be like, oh.
I'm sorry, what would the response be?
That sounds devastating if they went down the other end and say, oh. And by the way, as soon as somebody doesn't buy tickets to that, weekend game, somebody else is going to buy tickets to that weekend game. You know what I mean? Because now they're available.
Exactly.
So you're willing to admit in 1 minute that your great idea is not going to work.
Get back down real quick, Steve.
It won't work 100%, but if people listen and don't do it, if they pick a specific date, someone starts an online thing. And
Start something where everyone else does it together and then do it. That's what should happen.
I like it, Steve. Thanks for the call. All right, let's try Jose Pomona. He's a Dodgers fan on line two, and he's up next on the Kevin Amin Show.
Hey, Jose.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, thank you.
What's going on, dude? What do you think?
Oh, man, I've been upset ever since the Lakers did that, because I had a Dish Network, and at the time, you couldn't get it on Dish Network.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so I couldn't watch those games anymore. And then the Pac-12 did it, and then the Dodgers did it.
Is it possible that just everybody has taken aim at you, Jose?
It is possible, yeah.
So, I mean, there's not much you can do except suffer in silence. You just can't see the games. I mean, that's it. You don't really have any recourse to strike back, right?
Correct. And so I ended up canceling my cable provider because I'm not going to pay extra to watch them lose,
Okay, wait.
So
now they're not winning enough?
I'm confused now.
With the Lakers, Lakers have been bad for like the last three seasons.
Oh, I see. Okay. Oh, I see what you're saying.
To watch that? No, screw that.
Yeah. Gotcha. Hey, I wonder if, Jose, what TV provider do you have right now?
I don't. I cut them off, and so now I do the streaming, the media streaming.
Oh, I see. Okay, so you're a cord cutter. Gotcha. I was just wondering if a bunch of people are switching to Time Warner. I mean, I'm sure that's one benefit that Time Warner would enjoy is if people who are Dodgers fans would go, well, I guess I got to get Time Warner. I haven't seen any numbers to find out if that's happening.
And it really affected me and my family because for the last six or seven seasons, well, before they did that switch, or that contract, I was going to the games at least, once or twice a year, and I would take my whole family, which were at least minimum 30 tickets to get, the group discount and all that.
Right.
And so for the last two seasons, we haven't went.
So that you're just not going to go to the ballpark. That's your thing, and I understand that.
Yeah, I do too. All right, Jose, thanks for the call. I love how Jose has 30 family members, by the way. He had to cut cable. He can't afford cable anymore. He's got too many kids.
He needs to cut family.
Let's try Jeremy. He's in Azusa. He's on line 8. I was saying that I thought that when we had the LA Times reporter Meg James on, I was saying that I thought that ultimately this was really going to hurt the Dodgers because people can't grow up watching their team on TV. And I think that fosters a much closer connection when you can see the games every day. But Jeremy, you disagree? You don't think this is going to hurt them with young fans?
Not really. I think that a lot of the younger viewers don't have any problem pirating the signal and streaming it.
But the streaming, I mean, what are the streaming options right now? Because the this whatever the Sportsnet or whatever the Dodgers channel is now, they own all the local rights. So there's no legal way to stream it. But you think they'll figure out a way to get around that?
Oh yeah, absolutely. There's plenty of European streaming sites that will broadcast pretty much every American sports everything.
Could you offer maybe a name of one of those just as we say goodbye here that might be useful or helpful for our listeners?
I like using it. So
you don't want to say it. Good choice.
They get shut down real quick.
It's a good choice. All right. Thank you, Jeremy. We appreciate it.
All right.
Bye now.
It's Kevin's theme song. I've been thinking too much.
That's true.
Yeah.
No, it doesn't say drinking too much.
What?
You're thinking it's not drinking too much.
Too much brain activity going on. That's
the problem. Hey, by the way, real quick, I know, Ralph, you're here with the Showbiz Beat. Thank you for that. But we've been very busy with the show today, and I wanted to make sure to squeeze in thank you to, A, everybody who bought tickets to come out to April Foolishness on Saturday night, B, all the phenomenal comedians that did such a great show. I think it was one of the best ever.
Yes.
And C, a special shout-out to Grant Cotter, who just killed it, who was the opening act contest winner, who went out there in front of 6,000 people on one day's notice and won that crowd over. And he was tremendous.
Yes. He was great. But did you see the Instagram of us trying to get him the microphone?
Yes.
Grant,
the king of Mexico.
You guys are a well-oiled machine.
I don't think he knew that he was going to get the handoff mic. I don't think he realized that.
No, he didn't
happening.
Have any idea. He figured that he would get one of our microphones, but then somehow it wasn't that way. So Dave was running after him.
Grant tackled him to give him a microphone.
It was very funny.
Well, I was talking to Grant right before he went out to open the show, and I said, how long are you doing? He said, nobody has really told me anything.
Oh, no.
And I thought, what kind of an operation are we running here?
The same kind we've always run, Bean.
Well, anyway, he was great, and the comedians were great, and it was so nice to meet so many nice people at the That's My John party ahead of time. We have some very nice listeners, by the way.
Yes, we do.
And I am not often reminded of that because I don't see them very often in person, but we have some really cool people listening to the show.
And I talked to Grant. I said, you know, why don't you come on the show after you're done anytime? Because you're now a member of the family. So you're always welcome back, Cotter. That's what I said.
I mean, I respect it.
I don't.
Not cool.
Not cool at all.
Oh, come on.
All right.
Chip groans, you know.
Welcome back, Cotter, I said
we
to
heard
him.
You. Yep.
His name's Grant Cotter.
Right. No, we got it. And that show
so
was on
welcome
in,
back, Cotter.
In the 70s. Right. We got it.
Easy flip. I'll take it from anybody, but not you.
Sit down.
Sit down.
Time for the Showbiz Beat. Now here's Rob.
Hey, look, what could be more fun than a guy's night out? Right?
Right.
Kevin loves guys.
That is well documented.
And so Kevin loves to put together the guy's night out poker party at the Bicycle Hotel and Casino. It's K-Rock's guy's night out, which means just guys. It's just
it's
all
not
guys
really just,
hanging
it's
out.
It's
guys,
actually either.
What's that? Excuse
guys,
me?
Girls, everybody's welcome.
Wow, that's poorly named. Right?
It is.
You can attend the guys' night out. Ladies, welcome. To the Bicycle Hotel and Casino. You get to play poker with not only with Kevin, but also with Beer Mug and Dave and Beer Mug. And Kevin and Dave and Beer Mug. All those people will be playing poker. If you'd like to play poker with Kevin, I have a spot now, right now to give away. It's a spot at Kevin's table for the K-Rock's Guys Night Out at the Bicycle Hotel and Casino. You will sit down with our very own Kevin Ryder.
And you will give me your money.
And you will know that he's bluffing most of the time. So feel free to raise him at every opportunity. You get a rack of chips that's worth $200 just to get you started. You can turn that $200, by the way, if you play your cards right, you can parlay it into $14 million.
Oh, here too?
Yeah.
Is that true?
Oh,
wow.
True.
Yeah. How do you do that math?
Yeah, I got a slide rule.
Okay.
That's this Friday at 8 p.m. This Friday at 8 p.m., you can play with Kevin if you give me a call right now, 1-800-520-1067. And since it's Friday at 8, let's take caller number 8. Caller number 8 will get to play poker at Kevin's table at K-Rock's Guys Night Out at the Bicycle Hotel and Casino. If you'd like to attend, you can RSVP for your spot to play poker with the guys at thebike.com. Thebike.com is where you want to go. All right. Let's get to the Monday morning box office report. We do it every Monday to talk about who went to see what at theaters over the weekend. Batman v Superman, still number one in its second week, $52.3 million. Made it the big boss of the box office. Zootopia, second. My Big Fat Greek Wedding, 2 was third. God's Not Dead, 2.
What?
Still?
God's Not Dead as well, also 2. Tom Bien, 2. Fourth at the box office, Miracles from Heaven was fifth. That's the movie where God drops a kid on its head.
Well, no, the child falls out of a tree.
But then they say, oh, God cured your girl because he dropped her on her head.
And he's not dead.
Right.
Jesus.
God can't be dead and drop kids on their heads. That's proof positive right there. God's not dead.
I'm lost, but I'm going to take your word for it.
Allegiant, sixth at the box office, 10 Cloverfield Lane, Meet the Blacks, Eye in the Sky, and Deadpool. Rounding out your top 10. Hey, bad news. Sorry, folks. The knife found on the grounds of O.J. Simpson's home, they say now carries no evidence that involves it with the murders of Nicole Brown Simpson and Ron Goldman.
Really? There wasn't a lot of fresh DNA on that knife that had been hidden for 30 years?
You know, the ones that they found in the dirt and they dug it up and a guy put it on his wall for 30 years? No. It turns out the microbes in the soil degraded any DNA. After nearly a month of testing, they came up empty.
They couldn't have recharged him anyway, right? Isn't that the truth?
It would double jeopardy, right? Yeah. It wouldn't have really mattered.
So even if it had his DNA on it.
But at least they could
have. Plus, he didn't do it, right? By the way, remember that.
Because the gloves didn't fit.
Right. I'm the juice. Whatever that is.
In addition, they're saying that the knife's 5-inch blade did not match the cuts on either of the victims. Cops say it's most likely a 6-inch blade, which caused the fatal wounds. So, off by an inch.
So, does this mean now we've got to go look for who O.J. killed with this knife? Is that what's happening here?
I think you're missing the point. This is good casting. Bradley Cooper's got a new film on the way. He's just attached himself to a movie called Deeper.
Go on.
The rap reports the film's about a former astronaut.
Astronaut.
Who's hired to take on a couple sexy stewardesses.
Yeah.
In the back of a parabolic flight. Doing it weightless.
I don't think astronauts get stewardesses, by the way. I don't think that works that way.
Hand out nuts and stuff?
Right.
No, I didn't say there were stewardesses on the spaceship.
Oh, I'm sorry. I misunderstood. Okay.
No, he's a former astronaut who's hired to take a submersible to the lowest point in the ocean.
Yeah, get down.
But as the submersible gets down near the bottom,
right,
supernatural events start happening. Yeah.
Down there in the deep?
Yep. He's already been to space. Now he's exploring Uranus. He's Bradley Cooper in Deeper. Deeper. Speaking of Deeper, do we need more of Chrisley Knows Best? You know it's my favorite show in the world, right? Chrisley Knows Best?
You have mentioned that, yeah.
Because it's spectacular. He's a fashion... No, he's not a fashion at all. He's a real estate mogul, I believe.
Okay.
And he spends almost every episode talking about how straight he is.
Mm-hmm.
But he does it in such a fabulous way that it's wildly entertaining. I'm so straight. My wife and I, we have sex all the time, and we had all these children from all our heterosexual sex. He says every episode. The USA Network seems to agree that it's the best. They just ordered 8 more episodes of the show, bringing this season's total to 20 episodes. So they will premiere later this fall. The show averages over 2.5 million viewers an episode, which is pretty good for a reality show on the USA Network. So
yeah,
that's saying something right there. Today's celebrity birthdays. Hugo Weaving is 56 years old today. Actor David Cross turns 52. RDJ, Robert Downey Jr., Iron Man himself, is 51. James Rhode, from Psych is 40, Natasha Lyonne, soon to be seen in Yoga Hosers from Kevin Smith. She's 37 years old today, and actor Eric Andre is 33. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:38.
Don't forget, 5 o'clock this afternoon, your tickets for Coachella. You get not only three-day passes.
That's right, Coachella.
Oh, hey, Rodney. How you doing, man?
I love Coachella.
I know you do.
It's so great because they have all the corn there at Coachella.
Well, that's not corn. Thinking of something else. This is Coachella, and this is the music festival that goes on in Indio every year about this time.
I agree to disagree on this one.
Anyway, you not only get passes to the weekend, you also get access to the K-Rock Coachella house. And also you get to qualify to win a brand new car, a 2016 Jeep Renegade. Grand prize drawing coming soon. Details at KRock.com. Your chance to win the tickets at 5 p.m. again today. Time for the showbiz beat now. Here's Ralph.
So hard sometimes
for a pimp
to like Allie.
Oh.
Because,
really?
Wow.
Because, you know, you find some common ground. You think maybe here's the chance. Here's the olive branch. Here's the bridge that will spawn the chasm or span the chasm, if you will. Between our two worlds.
Uh-huh.
And how big is the chasm, Ralph?
It's a massive chasm. It is not a small chasm.
Yes.
But she had tweeted that her friend is going to be doing some additional broadcasting guests for the Kings or whatever. She's going to be working with it.
No, she did. She worked for the Kings. She now just got a job at Fox Sports
doing
UFC, NHL, and WWE.
Right.
Carlin, great girl.
Her name is Carlin Bath.
Mm-hmm.
And when I saw the names Bath and hockey together, it immediately struck a nerve with me because one of my favorite all-time Flyers defensemen was a guy named Frank Bath. Turns out this is his daughter.
Uh-huh.
So my head exploded because he's one of my favorite players and Allie knows his daughter. So I go on and I tweet, wow, you know Frank Bath's kid? That just made you so much cooler.
And so how did that go south?
Well, because immediately she tweets back, and she's from Maine.
I did it because I knew it would bug him.
So she has
guess
to bring,
where Frank lives.
She has to bring Maine
in
into
Maine.
It.
Oh no! This is a colossal disaster.
Just Frank
why
lives
would she,
in Maine.
Why would she slap the olive branch out of my hand in that way? She might as well said yes, and she's good friends with Steve Kuznicki too. Or
that's Steve Kuznicki.
Whatever.
And they do not know each other, but. I'm just saying, great people live in Maine.
I'm just saying, why does it have to be Maine?
Tastes real good.
Well, he's making up all kinds of stories today.
Worst.
Hanging out with Minute Bowl or somebody, I don't remember.
Minuto.
Minuto, right?
She was bowling with Minuto. I think that's why you thought it was Minute Bowl.
Could be.
Because it was bowling with Minuto.
Could be.
Yeah.
What?
It's Monday morning. We take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Batman v Superman, still number one. $52.3 million. Made it number one. Zootopia was second. My Big Fat Greek Wedding 2 was third. God's Not Dead 2 was fourth. Miracles from Heaven was number five at the box office. Then the rest of the top 10 shakes out like this. The Divergent series Allegiant, 10 Cloverfield Lane, Meet the Blacks, Eye in the Sky, and Deadpool. This is hilarious. This is one of my favorite things when the conservative values groups get all up in arms. I don't know if you heard about this or not. But a conservative group called Texas Values, which already just makes me want to duck for cover and wear Kevlar. They have accused several companies, including the Walt Disney Company, of going to war on Christianity.
Going to war?
Going to war! Here's the reason
Define
behind
war.
It.
War.
Is because, you know, last week, the Georgia governor, Nathan Deal, vetoed the Free Exercise Protection Act. I love the names they give some of these laws. This was a bill that would have allowed local businesses to refuse services to people based on their religious opposition to same-sex marriage.
Ah, this is, I don't want to make you a cake you're gay.
If you're gay, I can refuse you service, Bill.
Because right. Make you a cake,
I'm in Satan's hot tub.
That makes zero sense.
Of course it doesn't make any sense. And many companies that do a lot of business with the state of Georgia, like Apple and the NCAA and Intel and Disney, said if you enact this law, if this becomes law of the land in Georgia, we are not going to do business there anymore. Because we're inclusive companies. We've got same-sex marriages within the ranks of our people who work with us. We support them, and we're not going to work with you. So now this group, Texas Values, has said it has become clear that Apple, Disney, and NCAA and Intel have finally come out of the closet and declared public war on the religious freedom So Disney apparently at war with Christians.
Sad to hear.
So ridiculous.
You can't treat people equally, Ralph. That's not the way Jesus would have done it.
It's craziness. They go on to say, will Disney now ban you from wearing a cross outside your shirt at their parks?
Yes. That is what's next.
That's their plan.
That is happening.
Yeah. So Disney has yet to obviously even legitimize their views with a comment, but I just thought it was hilarious that they think, that's what Disney wants to do.
What does President Trump think? Have we heard from him?
I don't know if he's spoken out.
I don't know where he stands on this Georgia law.
I don't know if he's spoken out poorly on this issue yet or not.
I'm sure he's held all the positions over the course of a day.
Yeah. I say good for Disney for standing up
for
people's rights of all different creeds and colors and sexual orientation. Come on. We're all just people.
We're all just people.
Isn't that what we always say? Kelsey Grammer. I'm going to do a Eugene Levy story, and I said not to, except for it's a real quick story. He's got a pet scorpion named Stingy.
Okay.
That caught my eye this morning.
Stingy.
Stingy is the name of his pet scorpion.
I like it.
You don't put a lot of work in that one, are
no,
you?
No, not much.
You're naming your pet scorpion?
I have I probably shouldn't say this because you guys will mock, but I have a doorstop.
Jesus.
Where is this going?
That I named Stoppy. And that's what we refer to as. Hey, where's Stoppy? And we go to prop the door open.
Hold on one second. Hold on. What's a doorstop? I don't even know what that is.
A doorstop! Oh, it hurts! It hurts so much! Stop
What's
it!
A doorstop?
Mommy, make it stop!
A doorstop is a heavy object that you place
to hold the door open.
To hold the door open so it doesn't get slammed by the wind. Yes.
What do you think a doorstop is?
I don't know.
What is happening?
I just wanted to identify what it was. I don't use them, but being named his is the point here. Let's not get off track.
You took us off track.
Oh, God.
Because we were on a rocket ship going towards the sun, and you started a fire in the main cabin while we were rocketing towards the sun.
So that I didn't help?
No.
Okay. I didn't further our cause?
Oh,
my point is that I have respect for Eugene Levy with Stingy because I live with Stoppy. So I see where he was coming from. That's the only point I was making there. It made a lot of sense to me. But what's a doorstop is a question that was asked.
I don't know that I've ever had one.
I'm looking better now, Ralph.
Huh? You are my best friend. You're my best friend on the show, Allie. You can talk about Maine all day long. At least Maine's a thing. At least you've never started a story with, I have a doorstop. That has never been the opening line of a story that you've told.
Thank you.
Stoppy.
You're not allowed, Kevin.
I could make fun of Stoppy.
I don't know.
I don't know either.
You had to inquire what Stoppy was.
This is quite the batch.
Hey, Kevin, what did you think a doorstop was going to be? Like, were there any hints in the name that might have given you a tip?
No, neither of those words gave it away.
Okay.
Yeah.
What if it had been called a keeper opener? A doorkeeper opener.
I wouldn't have understood that either.
Bean, how many inanimate objects do you name in your home? How many inanimate objects in your home have names?
I don't know. Mm. I mean, Stoppy came to mind just because we were talking about Stingy.
Sure,
I don't know. There may be right. Others, but
do you have Dr. Dry, your towel, Dr. Dry that you like to?
He's a doctor.
Why is he a doctor?
Dr. Dre. You call towel Dr. Dry, right?
God, well done. The worst, really?
I like it.
I do now.
Come out of the shower.
He's
have it now.
Where's Dr. Dry? I need to get this water off my skin.
You know, Bean names everything.
Oh, right.
All right. Where were we?
I'm just getting out. That's what I'm doing. See this ripcord? This is me jumping out and pulling it.
So now we're stuck
in the soft landing.
In the capsule that's on fire heading toward the sun. That's where we're all left.
Today's celebrity birthday is Hugo Weaving's 56 years old today. David Cross turns 52. Robert Downey Jr. is 51 years old today. James Rhodey from Psych. 40 years old. Natasha Lyonne is 37, and Eric Andre celebrates his 33rd birthday. I'm Stoppy. I walk the showbiz beat.
So you started out that Showbiz Beats saying that Allie was hard to like. Then Bean made it harder to like him, and then I made it harder to like me than anyone.
Allie wins.
Good work, team.
All right, tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean show. We have What's Up with Florida. We have Tyler Labine in studio. And Alana Sherrill is a sleep expert. We're going to do Ask a Sleep Expert on tomorrow morning's Kevin and Bean show.